What's poppin'? It's the weekend. Yes, the Friday show with Drew and Mike from the Deals in the D.com studios. Trudy's in the house. Mark, Brandon, and Zoobs. And in fact, we are live on Facebook. And I wanted to mention one more time that Saturday, we're at Rock City Music on 5 Mile, and I guess Farmington is close. It's across street.
Right.
In Livonia, as Steve Gorman of the Black Crowes will be signing copies of Hard to Handle. Now, there's been a rumor that you have to buy the book at Rock City Music that day to get it signed. I talked to Steve last night. Yes, I talked to Steve in my private time as well. And see, the first time I've ever talked to him privately. And he was on the air, too.
Well, yes.
He had to take a break for a break. Anyway, Steve said that he's not going to refuse to sign a book somebody bought somewhere else. And he's not going to really refuse to sign a ticket stub either.
What is he, a Robinson? No.
No, he's a nice guy. It's all good. If you want to show up for the Q&A, we'll chat a little bit. And then you get to ask questions of Steve. And then he signs stuff.
Yeah.
And let me see if he answered my last text, since we're so close now.
I love the story he was telling yesterday about Aerosmith and how he was so amped to meet him, and they were in their dry period, so they were no fun.
That was not exactly the experience they had with the Rolling Stones.
All right.
Quite the opposite.
Oof,
Rolling Stones were still rolling.
Of course.
Keith Richards walks in. Anybody got... No. Who's got a bump?
Because everywhere he goes, somebody hands him one.
Of course.
Right?
I think it was Eddie, the keyboard player.
Oh.
He's no longer with us. Eddie Harsh, who Steve just loved
Eddie
Harsh.
This damn motherfucker play those keyboards.
Yeah. Okay, I asked
Freeloader,
him.
Reloader, man.
I said, Steve, question, does everybody want a selfie with you at these dealios? If you want me to say, I can say not to ask. That doesn't mean people won't be total weasels, as I'm sure you know. He said, yeah, and that's fine. I take pics with generally anyone that wants one, usually as I'm signing. So, hey,
now,
there
why
you go.
Don't you tell me?
It bums me out when you see that, you know, somebody's trying to be really strict with rules.
Oh,
and, you know,
God,
people are going to be kind of heartbroken when they get there and they bought their book somewhere else. But I do want to say this. Please don't bring 20 things from the sign.
Yeah, don't be a dick. And get your phone ready. Don't be, like, fumbling around because you don't know how to, you know. Prep your picture.
You could repeat that for the next hour, and people will not be ready with their phones, or the picture won't take, or it's facing the wrong way.
I know.
Boy.
I don't like that one.
We have some big news today. Roger Waters coming to Little Caesars Arena, July 14th.
We announced that at 9 o'clock this morning.
Whoa.
Roger Waters is in George's box.
W-L-O-Z.
Roger Waters.
Roger Waters.
And July 20th, Hall & Oates at DTE with Squeeze.
Ooh, yeah.
I love Squeeze. I like Hall & Oates, too. I'm not ashamed of it. Should we call the Hall & Oates hotline?
Soft.
Hall & Oates.
Let me call. Is it Hall & Oates?
I got to squeeze my butt.
Hall & Oates, Hall Financial hotline is opening. Ironically, to call Hall & Oates. Call & Oates. As if you're having an emergency and you need a Hall & Oates song.
Is Hall related to David then?
Yes, they are related. And I think Daryl Hall's a scratch golfer too. And Hall's got, I guess he can sing in perfect key. So, crazy. Valentine's Day is coming up. Get your sweetheart in the mood with a gift from Lover's Lane, who is our Facebook Live sponsor. Now there are three ways to shop for all your bedroom essentials. Loverslane.com, 35 retail locations. The all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff that even Cupid can't get his hands on. Featuring quality sex toys, fun, exciting toys for couples. Sex Drive also has an incredible selection of erotic apparel and naughty gift ideas. Perfect for Valentine's. Shop early. Visit sexdrive.com. Powered by Lover's Lane. And the Hall Financial Hotline, we had a couple of...
Who's your Valentine? If you don't have one, you're probably ugly and don't know it.
Do we have a couple other things for the Hall Financial Hotline?
Oh, man, yeah. There's a guy.
Where's this guy?
He's also a mayor in a small town down in North Carolina. And the city wants him to get this house to remove a painting of a mermaid on it. Wow, it's not that bad of a painting. The only
reimburse
problem
is him for the mermaid. I mean, that's
it's a pretty classy mermaid.
They call her a scantily clad mermaid, as though there's any other kind.
Good point.
I mean, they're all.
The only problem is
live in the ocean.
The mayor is the owner of the house, so he's like, "Oh, no way, I'm not taking that down." But he seemed like a good guy in the video.
He did.
Trudy said he had too many rugs in his house.
Too many throw rugs.
Yeah, a lot of throw rugs. I saw it.
And then there's a lady. She's 51 years old, and she has been arrested for pooping 8 times in a parking lot. Right outside a store. So
in the
store's
same place?
Listed. Yeah, yeah. Great mug. Luigi sees this mugshot. Hold it up for the camera, too.
She hot?
Not in the mugshot. Isn't that a great mugshot?
Camera?
Yeah, can they see that?
Joe? I don't know.
Is it see-through?
Right here?
Camera two? Camera three.
There we go.
Camera two? Camera three.
There she is. Not, she's not happy. It's very sad.
Pooping become the way that people just...
That's a picture. If I was going out with her, I'd want that picture before we went on our first date.
No she's makeup and her cry
ugly,
face.
Ugly crier. Yeah. She looks like she's been in jail for a while, which is how I want to see... I think all women should have to reveal themselves after they've been in jail for a couple months.
She has bowel problems, too.
She said she hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
Trudy, it'll be like military service. You do your 60 days in jail so we can get the picture.
I know.
And know what you look like. Trudy.
Make it to the bathroom before I lose my bowels all over myself.
Oh. I want that stricken from your book of good ideas.
Wait, another great idea came to me today.
Oh.
An old idea. Oh, I know. I saw it on the list from the website, and it was I wanted to send death row inmates on a rocket to the sun to see what would happen.
Yeah.
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
We put a camera on them, and so we could see what would happen to them. That would be their way of experiencing death.
I remember that was a really good idea.
I think to see what would happen, a lot of times it gets lost in the mix because people think it's impractical. But, yeah. I mean, do we want to see what happens occasionally? Just do something to see what would happen?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why launch them towards the sun? How about just shoot them out of a rocket that goes into space and then just push them out of the rocket and see what happens?
Oh, for the frozen look of horror.
Don't they inflate and explode? I don't know.
Well, I'd like to see that too.
The non-spacesuit spacewalk.
I still want to send them to the sun, though.
That'll take too long.
No, it won't. The rocket will be really fast. And
Elon Musk can build it.
Yeah, he's going to get pretty hot pretty fast.
Did you see Trump talking about Elon Musk yesterday? I texted it to you.
I was talking about building cars. Or how smart he is, or Einstein,
rockets.
Yeah, it was a little disjointed.
GM and Ford. Do you have comments on Elon Musk?
Well, you have to give him credit. I spoke to him very recently, and he's also doing the rockets. He likes rockets, and he does good at rockets too.
Good
by
at
the way,
rockets.
I never saw where the engines come down with no wings, no anything, and they're landing. I said, I've never seen that before.
No one has. It's never been done before.
And I was worried about him because he's one of our great geniuses, and we have to protect our genius. You know, we we have to protect Thomas Edison and. We have to protect
Edison under
all
attack?
Of these Dead. People that
Thomas Edison alive?
Came up with originally the light bulb and the wheel and
the
all
under
of these
attack.
Things. And he's one of our very smart people, and we want to cherish those people. That's very important. But he's done a very good job. Shocking how well, you know, how it's come so fast. I mean, you go back a year, and they were talking about the end of the company, and now all of a sudden they're talking about these great things. He's going to be building a very big plant. In the United States. He has to.
You
because we help him, so he has
nothing.
To help us.
We helped him, so he has to help Tesla's us.
Well, as far as the wheel and Thomas Edison and such, I mean, who'd have thought Christmas would come under attack? So he might be...
Saved it.
He may be seeing the future there.
Oh.
I mean, Christmas has been attacked. He brought Christmas back.
I've been trying to say Merry Christmas for years, and finally... We can do it again.
Aww.
Maybe he'll bring the wheel back when the wheel gets attacked.
Bring the wheel back.
Well, you never know.
You have
to protect these things.
He talked about protecting Thomas Edison, who invented the wheel. Is that
the light bulb?
Just the inventor of the wheel.
What he's talking about is how the light bulb has been under attack. Remember,
we had to get rid of it. It has been.
Yeah. Oh, that's
absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Mike Clark was very upset about
there.
That.
Now, I want to ask this. Why is Tesla, I just remember reading this a couple weeks ago, Tesla is worth more than Ford and GM combined.
Yeah.
Why?
It's all speculative.
No, but I mean, there's got to be some basis.
I don't see anybody driving Teslas around here.
I don't either.
I've seen a couple. But
well, I mean, you see Teslas occasionally, but to think that GM and Ford,
I know.
They have all their physical plants, all their technology, and Tesla is worth more?
They over-delivered last quarter. They managed to ship out all the cars no one thought they could do, which is kind of what Trump was referring to there.
Well, I'm intrigued to see.
It's all speculative.
If they, well, I understand that, but there still has to be. It's not that there isn't a great debate about it. Like, oh no, that's crazy. No, people were generally in agreement.
Yeah,
and I mean, it has to do with stock price. And,
what's their P&E?
I have no idea.
I don't even know what that means.
Brandon, did you call the? Did we call the call and oats line and I didn't hear it?
No, you guys were talking, so I didn't call it. I'll call it right now.
Ashley, by the way, remember our friend Ashley who lives out in Colorado?
Yes, we have her back. Is she graduated?
I don't know. We'll ask her because she's on Facebook Live. But she says there's a ton of Teslas out in Colorado. You know, they don't have a dealership here. They're not allowed to. Although
they are now.
That might be changing.
Yeah. You know, some of the...
Welcome to Call and Oats, your emergency Hall and Oats helpline. To hear one-on-one, please press 1. To hear Rich Girl, please press 2.
They haven't changed the song.
To hear Manita, please press 3.
Can't go for that.
To hear Privatized.
Oh, Privatized.
Please
Privatized.
Press 4.
She sounds hot.
Let's go with number 2. You're a rich girl.
Sorry, I didn't get your response. We are sorry. An application error has occurred.
Oh, no.
Goodbye.
It's under attack.
Haven't Steven talk to her next time?
Man, I'm really jonesing now.
Oh, man.
Don't think they've
stupid
ever...
Stupid bitch.
She is. They haven't changed the songs in all this time. That's ridiculous.
That would take too much work.
Well, wait, is it in the order that people have requested them for emergencies?
No, they just haven't changed the line. It's just like they just forgot about it.
I was trying
to
buy into it. But...
did you guys happen to see...
Welcome to Colin.
Oh, thank you.
Your emergency.
Push 1. There we go. Wait, that's 4! This is a Privatizer's 4, didn't they? This thing is all...
Yeah.
Somebody get Daryl Hall on the phone. Or no, actually, Oates handles the call and Oates line.
I'm surprised he's not answering to play him live.
That'd be cool. I love the quality on this.
It is great. What if you press 2 or 3? I wonder what happens.
Well, you should get
probably
one
get the
on
same
one,
song.
Or...
You should get the same song.
Shouldn't, is I Can Go For That on there? Ought to be. And claps. Thanks, Brandon. I feel better.
There's nothing David Lee Roth can't make better.
Okay, can we,
Boozy, boozy, bop, city bop.
The best sound quality, but it got the job done.
It's harsh.
What, is there some reason still playing?
Brandon wants to keep hearing it.
Wow. He was really jonesing over there. Yeah. I didn't mention when I mentioned the Hall Financial Hotline that... Do we have any ABNN-related numbers, too?
Yes, we do.
We do, okay.
Yeah, because there's breaking news.
They've got questions for our listeners at Hall Financial. Are you paying more than 4% on your mortgage? Do you have a lingering high interest rate credit card debt? If so, you should go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or... You can call 248-308-5000. There was a nice conversation on Facebook yesterday about Hall Financial, and it was totally random, and it was real, where somebody says, I have a quick question. What's the name of the mortgage company Drew is always talking about? Somebody says, Susan says, Hall Financial's great. We refinanced with them. Amazing customer service. We closed within 2 weeks. And then she adds, we're checking around. Seems like a good time to go for a 15-year, so I wanted to hear what they had to offer. Thanks for your input. Oh, that's the original questioner. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the next page.
I want you two to kiss each other.
We did a 15. They'll help out and answer any questions. Just refinance with Hall 2, says Brian. They were awesome. Not only did we lower our rate, but we helped consolidate our high interest rate credit card debt and pay off 3 credit cards.
Oh, my God. They wrote the commercial.
Oh. Nick says, is this an ad? And then Brian says, I know it sounds like it, but it's something I should have done a long time ago. And they really are good. Good as advertised. Wow, that's great.
No,
oh,
that's cool. Want you two to kiss each other.
Hall Financial, you won't be disappointed. Equal housing lender, NMLS number 1467435. And I was watching TMZ, and I saw Joey Kramer walking up to Aerosmith practice.
Oh, boy.
And they had security guards standing there to turn him away.
No way. Really?
They did.
Why?
Security breach.
Why would he do that? And B, why are they such dicks?
Wait, who was filming it?
Joey Kramer.
Oh, what a shock.
Yeah.
Access denied.
Come on. No,
I guess, did he throw the mic down and say thanks to lame-ass security or something? I guess they've got it on camera.
Yeah, here it is. Well, thanks to the lame-ass security, I'm going home.
Wow. So it sounds like a publicity stunt for him.
I thought it was so stupid.
Especially Why? Since he pulled up.
In his Aerosmith van.
They supposedly him taking this to court opened up sort of a Pandora's box of things he may not have wanted to get out, like how he went to rehab. You know, the ankle thing was one thing, but he went to rehab, and that's not a big thing. But then he left before he was completely checked out.
That's time management.
I guess, on one hand.
Might as well get the rehab in while you're getting the ankle in.
But after what Steve Gorman told us about what, you know, what did he say? Aggressive sobriety?
Yeah.
Types?
That was crazy. I remember going to the show where you couldn't drink. It was like, wait, because they can't handle their alcohol, we can't drink?
Right.
20,000 people can't drink because 5 people can't drink.
Like, I can see how they would make, you know, that a thing if they didn't want him to come back, maybe. They're like, you didn't finish your rehab, so get out of here. We don't want you to, you're not
Seems
healthy.
Seems a little judgmental for one 3-song set to me, but I don't know. Plus, there have been some other people who have been askew at times.
Yeah. What? Yeah, they fell off stage together.
Yeah.
Joe and Steve.
So none of them drink anymore?
No, they're not supposed to. I don't think they do.
Oh, there he is.
Sorry, we're just asking that you not come into the property right now.
Oh, he looks terrible.
Hired by the other 4 members of the band to ask that you don't come in today.
Oh my
He's
God.
Dressed to rock, though.
I know he is.
Okay.
Let me censor.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Is that all right? I mean,
is that all right?
I think he was expecting this, or he wouldn't have brought the camera guy.
Okay.
Hold it. What's your clearance?
Have a great day.
You've been drinking as long as me, and you build up a tolerance.
That's
now,
sad.
There was also a couple pictures today. I saw somebody sent me one, and I saw the other one in a piece on Van Halen of Alex Van Halen looking kind of rough, like really thin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was a little disconcerting. I thought Eddie looks better, to be honest.
Huh.
And Eddie, you know, we hear he's not doing well, but, you know, he was at that concert. He was taking a picture for somebody.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was having a good time. God, I'd love to see Eddie out there one more time.
Yeah, me too.
Wouldn't that be great?
He doesn't look that bad.
No, Eddie or Alex.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, he looks thin.
He always was kind of thin.
No skinnier dudes than that.
He looks like the guy that was drumming up against Sandman. And
he does.
Nathan Phillips.
Plaza.
Separate at birth. Wow, that's cool. He'd be, what a great compliment.
And he's a drummer, too, right? So it makes sense.
Oh, that's right. Trudy, great point. Maybe, have you ever seen him in the same place?
No.
Well, he's not smiling, so you can't see his teeth either.
And Alex is known to lie, too, Alex Van Halen.
Right.
I mean, he's been really mean to people. And what's the Native American guy?
Nathan Phillips.
Yeah, he's a big bullshitter. Yeah, they were chanting Build the Wall and, you know. Oh, that's actually Phillips playing with... He has jammed with Van Halen before. I forgot about that.
I like that.
That's actual audio of him up against Sandman in that day.
Thank God they leave his mic off, though, when they record, so we don't have to hear him.
Alex looks very thin.
I don't know if you've been working out or what, but your body's looking good.
Anyway, other news. 3 members of Genesis went to a Knicks game together. So people were like, is there a Genesis tour coming? Now, I would have been really excited had it been Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, that'll never happen.
And Tony Banks. But no, of course, Peter Gabriel was not one of the 3.
So it's Phil, Mike Rutherford, and Tony Banks?
And Tony Banks, yeah.
Yeah. Who cares?
Well, we know that Phil can't play the drums because he can't even stand.
That's right.
He does his concerts from a chair, a fold-up
Actually,
chair.
Actually, I think I'm glad they were going to a Knicks game instead of reuniting. Now that I think about it.
Reminded me of the video when he fell off the chair.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is it too mean that I laugh at that?
Oh, that was so bad.
Sorry, I felt.
He looks like John and Young Young. No.
Hey, Trudy, are you guys playing the new Pearl Jam at Wheels?
I don't.
It sounds like a no.
No.
You sounded like you wanted to be playing it, but you really didn't want to say that you weren't playing it.
Oh, we all checked it out separately.
I meant on the air.
No.
No, okay. No. Is that a hard no? Yeah.
That's a hard
That's
no,
the,
man.
That's the next generation.
I see. Okay, of classic rock.
I don't know. I think this would be cool, though, don't you?
I think it sounds like Talking Heads.
It doesn't. Oh, that mountain.
Really?
Maybe
no,
that's
I think that's okay. I love Talking Heads.
You know, it's funny. After recording.
Sounds like he's singing like David Byrne, even, a little bit.
It does. It does. To our devotion, perceptibly big. Oh, my God. He really is. Nice.
I love the guitar stabs in this.
There's a good solo later, too. But after recording the Soul of Detroit last night,
yeah,
you know, I don't know if you know this, but ML hates Pearl Jam.
I know. I don't understand that.
Hates them. And I've always maintained it's because you only know Alive and Even Flow and Black. And he said, yeah, because every time he'd go to like Gasoline Alley, that's the only music that was ever played. So
wait a minute.
He's always said that. So last
for
night,
someone who likes to investigate and know the truth, I feel like he's really fallen short on Pearl Jam.
He's very
and Gasoline Alley.
Yeah,
very stubborn when it comes to music, though. So I said, "Hey, I want to play a new song for you. I just want to get your opinion on it and play the beginning." I go, "That sounds a little new wavy, doesn't it?"
Yeah. No, it does.
You got sucked in.
Shocked. Yeah.
How long was he sucked in before he...
Did he like it?
Well, he didn't know it was Pearl Jam, even when Eddie's voice was playing. Jim Schaefer knew. He's like, oh, that's Pearl Jam? Because that seems to be the reaction. Everyone's shocked that it's Pearl Jam.
It's good stuff.
I like it. I
do, too.
I like Ozzy stuff, too. I think that's...
I think I've heard it four times now, and I think I liked it better every time I heard it. And, you know what?
This sucks more than anything that has ever sucked before.
People are still sending in covers. Oh, my God. And I got a list of songs that are not played on the radio from someone. And it's a great list, I thought. We'll get to that a little bit later. But should we? Yeah, let's. I got to do this real quickly. And then we've got to get to the ABNN. I think the ABNN has literally been trying to bust into the show. Because there's so much ABNN going on. There's so much with Antonio Brown going on. As I don't understand, how is it that this guy? Well, you know, it's the same thing with the Hall of Shame.
Oh, Rob Walchuk, we got to watch that. That
was a story about a contractor last night who is just the biggest dick. Mm. People take out construction loans, and then they spend the money. I don't know how they spend the money, but they get the materials and they don't pay for the lumber or whatever, and the homeowner gets a lien on the home, and he doesn't finish it. And it was just a big disaster for a lot of people.
It sucks that it falls on the homeowner, the lien.
Yeah, the lien does, and they can't get a mortgage.
Yeah, they didn't have the opportunity to pay.
And they paid this guy with the construction loan, and he blew the money somewhere. And he's just squirreling all over, just being a big weasel with Rob. And, oh, you're not going to do this here, are you? In the parking lot, it's like, oh, you don't mind stealing money from people, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, but God forbid someone tries to interview you in a parking lot.
And he used that classic line of, I got some money coming in next week.
Yeah, he's been saying that for over a year.
Rob's got some good lines in it, too.
So I don't understand how people like that and people like Antonio Brown, who has committed, I mean, the multitude of his illegal activity is incredible. He screwed everyone, and now he's assaulted someone, and they just can't seem to get to him.
Yeah, even though he's outside playing catch.
I don't understand. They have a warrant for his arrest, don't they?
Yeah, now they do, yeah.
Yeah, and the story is just crazy. We'll get to it in a second. First, a fast, fun, simple, easy experience, all while saving you fat stacks of cash. That's what our friends and studio sponsors at DealsInTheD.com are all about. But I shouldn't be talking about them because I should be talking about the fine folks at Zot Ford. And what's going on over there? Jim Bentley's there, and they've got the Zot Winter Wonderland clearance event with the trucks and SUVs, all of them. Ford example, lease the number one selling truck in America, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Super Crew XLT 4x4 under $100 a month, or at least Detroit's favorite SUV, the all-new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT 4x4s as low as $112 a month. And finally, during Zot Ford's Winter Wonderland event, lease Michigan's sportiest SUV, the new 2020 all-wheel drive Ford Edge SEL, as low as $168 a month. Call Bentley or Anthony Ketchum, and be sure to ask Jim if he's doing anything on Twitter that day, too, because you might have him lead you through that maze of trollage. Oh, my God. Is there more now from Jim? Is he onto something else?
Oh, my God, yes.
248-215-5151. 248-215-5151. Pick a time to grab your sweet new whip from Zot Ford, and we'll have to talk to Jim in person because Brandon's got a day off coming up, and Jim's going to come in and help out.
I got to tell you, too, guess who he trolled that he got a response from that we've talked about before.
Oh, the actual Twitter account holder?
Oh, yeah. He got in a fight with somebody.
Oh, who?
Well, guess. Who have we talked about who gets very angry on Twitter?
Richard Marx? No way! Wait, let me guess. Jim.
I got to find it.
Jim went out as a pro-Trump guy.
He called him.
Hi, Richard.
He called him a Trumpkin. Richard Marx called him that. I got to find it.
Trumpkin.
But that's not been his big battles today. Is once again, he responded to a David Hogg tweet.
Oh, boy. Richard Marx gets so mad.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know, maybe on his deathbed he'll be saying, boy, I'm glad I burned up all that energy on Trump. But I don't believe that. I mean, doesn't it seem insane? Some of these people are so mad. It's like the Facebook post, and somebody posted something yesterday about how all of you, and we talked about this in the show, all of you posting your pro-Trump or your anti-Trump, you know, don't you think there's enough of this in the world? And, of course, people got all mad at this guy, accused him of being pro-Trump.
Mm-hmm. So just God, some of these responses from
stop being mad at each other,
people.
It's too easy.
What happened?
But I'm glad that Jim's enjoying it. It's kind of funny what he's doing too.
The original
he's having a lot of fun. he's going to get our show canceled.
Blowing these people's minds.
Hogg wrote, "If there are any Republicans that follow me that voted for Trump, will you?" But will not in 2020. Why? This is a serious, non-rhetorical question. I'm actually just curious, which... Come on, Hogg, do you have better things to do?
Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
He's trying to stir something
up. Jim
up.
Wrote, because you don't like him. I get most of my political advice from a 19-year-old. Thanks for all you do, at David Hogg. And,
oh, what boy, type of shitty person does that?
Oh, boy, did that just...
Firestorm.
Floodgates.
Wait, but he's pro-Hogg.
Yeah, I know, but...
They sense the sarcasm?
I think they can smell the cynicism there.
And did Hogg respond?
No, he hasn't.
The Hogg Army came after?
If you're out there, fuck you.
The Hogg Army.
What did the Hogg Army have to say?
He just gets an, oh, here's the Richard Marx one. The Hogg Army's just all... It's honestly too much to go down right now, but they defend him because, you know, he's 17 or 19 and has an opinion, and Jim's like, yeah, but he's acting like a 73-year-old.
Well, he knows how to work a democracy,
exactly.
Whereas older people don't know how to work a democracy. So as you can tell by all the things that have changed since David Hogg got involved,
true.
He's been working at democracy.
Yeah.
So
where does Dick Marx come from?
Brandon.
That was duck.
Dick Marx,
that was a duck.
He retweeted the video that we played of Trump on Elon Musk and wrote, Donald Trump makes Forrest Gump look like Stephen Hawking. # Trumpkins will have to Google Stephen Hawking. That's one. Good one. Good one, Marx.
So why do you want to insult half the country?
Because he's an asshole.
I mean, I don't get it, honestly, on either side, because you see it all day on Twitter. Just everyone is so mad.
So Jim wrote, why are you picking on people in wheelchairs? That's even low for you.
I'm like, don't drag me into this.
Thanks, Hawk.
Leave it to a Trumpkin to get it completely and stupidly wrong. Maybe just read it more slowly at all times, then repeat.
Man, he's so mean.
Jim wrote, I read it slower again. I'm usually in your corner, Dick, but you sound like a naive conservative in your comment. You should know better than to marginalize people in wheelchairs. Oh, and you spelled pumpkin wrong. Also, I voted for Dr. Jill Stein. I think I want writing credit for two of those lines.
Did Marx respond to that?
Oh.
No.
No, his head has exploded.
Wait, so Jim, was a mic drop and Jim won?
He didn't respond.
He won.
But Sandy
Fun
said.
Fact, I nailed Daisy Fuentes before Dick Marx.
Daisy? Is that what he said?
Fuentes, yeah.
Wow. So, Hawk. She probably gyrated for him.
Sandy wrote, here, let me explain. Watch the clip. Stephen Hawking equals brilliant. Forrest Gump equals not so brilliant. Trump's thought processes and words are so dim-witted it makes Forrest seem like a genius in comparison. There. Did that help? No wheelchair user bashing at all. Oh. Jim. Yeah, boy, I'm going to need Stephen Hawking to interpret that. Too complicated. Bottom line is he compared Trump to a wheelchair-laden Hawking. Not cool. No, he compared Forrest Gump to Hawking and Trump to Forrest.
Not cool.
Try again. Wait. Forrest Gump is nothing like Hawking. I mean, he wore those leg brace things. That's the closest to making sense. OMG.
Remember when Forrest Gump got gyrated by that smoking stripper? That was cool.
Yeah.
It's a comparison of mental acuity, not legs. Hopefully you're being sarcastic, though. Oh shit. Sorry, Sandy. I get it now.
Danny was a slut.
Sandy was a slut.
Man, it took her so long to figure that out.
Wow.
Look at all the people spending all this time with people like Jim Bentley.
It's great when you know the troll and know that they really don't care.
But I see it all day long. I'm like, really? Yeah. Is this happening? Because occasionally I see it on my own tweets, and I'm like, oh, my God, really? And then I respond to one. I go, oh, my God, what am I doing? but we know that there's some big basketball games being played that could be doubling your paycheck on. The Hokies over the Tar Heels in Blacksburg last night. Who did Michigan play last night?
Oh, Penn State.
What is Michigan on a
Boy, streak? Yeah, are they 4-7 since they won the...
They've lost seven games?
Oh, yeah. Well, since Livers has been out, I don't even know if they've won one. They've been awful. Can't shoot.
Well, anyway... My bookie is there when you see those things coming, when you're feeling that psychic, or you want to look at the prop bets, because there's prop bets galore. You could have bet on Antonio Brown getting arrested, and you probably would have won money. Those were great odds, weren't they, on AB?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what you want to do is use the promo code Drew, activate the offer, go to mybookie.ag. That's promo code Drew to get your extra cash from MyBookie. And what it is if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you'll get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with from MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code Drew, Super Bowl just around the corner. And now, is there anything more to Jim's trolling?
So after the David Hogg one, Lisa wrote, he asked a simple question, but you're so caught up in trying to defend 45, which is pathetic, that you just blather on. You probably didn't even read the question. Which, by the way, he did answer the question. The first thing he wrote was, because you don't like him. In other words, he won't vote for Trump because David Hogg doesn't like him.
We should accuse her of not being able to read.
So Jim wrote, what question? Exactly. You didn't even read his post. So stupid. Oh, crap. Sorry. I skipped the first sentence the first time. I didn't vote, so I can't answer. Then stay the hell out of the whole conversation. If you don't bother to vote, then shut the hell up. Good Lord, Jim.
Thank God there's someone policing this Twitter account.
Jim, you can't shut me up. I have a voice, too. Not if you didn't bother to vote. Your voice means nothing. How incredibly stupid to claim your voice, but don't bother to vote. That's just sick. Which I hate that argument, because, by the way, not voting is using your voice because you don't like either candidate.
That's true, I think, to some extent these days. It's very hard to vote.
Yeah.
By the way, interesting piece of news today. I hate to delay the ABNN anymore. They're waving wildly at me over at the ABNN that we need to break in. But I wanted to mention that Tulsi Gabbard is suing Hillary Clinton for 100. What's her name?
Gabbard. I like Gabbard, though, like El Gabbard.
I think I'd probably think of Gabara.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I don't care who she is. She's very pretty, by the way. Hey, I did notice that about her.
On TMZ, I heard her call herself a person of color. What is her ethnicity?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that. But I just know that she's suing Hillary Clinton for $100 million for calling her a Russian plant. And she said that she lost millions in donations. And also she feels her reputation has been damaged and that it is clear and simple defamation. And that Hillary Clinton is still angry at her for supporting Bernie Sanders in 2016.
Jesus.
And for not campaigning for it. Well, you know, that was when Hillary said that, it was. I mean, wasn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize that we have a lot of people saying a lot of crazy things, but that was crazy. And I'm not a fan of hers in any way, shape, or form. That was crazy.
Yeah, for sure.
And for the record, Tulsi is Samoan.
Okay.
Oh. The other thing was, I saw the story on TMZ, and Tulsi Gabbard, I do prefer Gabbard.
Yeah, I think
anyway,
so, too.
She should think about that. Anyway, she was on TMZ, and I was very impressed with her discussion. She seemed like a bright young lady and very sincere. I don't know if she's really trying to win
you're
money.
Like what or you see.
She's just angry at Hillary Clinton, probably a little bit of both. She claims she really lost a lot of money. Hmm. Anyway, the point is, I went online to read a little bit about it, and I read probably two or three different discussions about it in which, and these were news stories, they called Hillary Clinton, they said that she was promoting a conspiracy theory. In other words, I've noticed that with Trump in particular, that newscasters delight in saying that he's lying. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton, though, it's not lying, it's a conspiracy. Now, is that really different? Is it really a conspiracy theory? Isn't she just outright lying if that's not true? And because I haven't heard anyone else say this. In fact, when she said it, I don't think anyone agreed with her.
I guess I don't see the distinction.
Things are called lying, and I'm not saying that Trump doesn't lie, because Trump does lie a lot about a lot of dumb things, too.
I thought there was a story out that they were trying to help a Democratic candidate, whatever that meant. And that's why that was the conspiracy theory, and she just felt like naming it to be her. Who knows? I don't know if that's
true. I can't read Hillary Clinton's mind. I just thought it was interesting that she
That had been out there before Hillary made those comments.
But as far as Tulsi Gabbard, I didn't hear anyone say that Tulsi Gabbard was the plant.
No, other than Hillary, no.
Yeah, so I don't know. And my point is, you can't really read people's minds. In Trump's case, frequently he is stretching, or he's lying, or he's wrong, or he doesn't know. I don't know what he's doing. I mean, it's hard to say. But
most,
it is interesting.
Most of the time you can tell, though, right away.
Not always. I think sometimes it's, you know, you would need to know what's in his head to know if he's absolutely lying. I'm trying to think of an example. Oh, okay. That's not a good example. there's no shame in calling it a lie. In fact, MSNBC, had MSNBC on one day, and Trump was speaking to some stadium of people, and he said, Hunter Biden... I forgot what he said exactly. Hunter Biden is corrupt, or Joe Biden's corrupt. And Hunter Biden was getting $50,000 a month from an energy company, and he knows
that's right,
less about energy than I do. And, you know, whatever he said. You get the gist of it.
Yeah.
And they came out of it and said, Donald Trump is or President Trump is lying because Hunter Biden's been cleared. There's
all a lie.
Joe and Hunter Biden have been cleared of this. So there's absolutely nothing to that. And I thought, wow, that's interesting that they actually called that a lie. I'm just parsing here. I just thought it was interesting that it seems that there's some benefit of the doubt there for Hillary Clinton.
Well, when he talks about Ukraine and the server, they always say that it's perpetuating a conspiracy theory.
I don't think anyone is afraid to say he's lying.
Well, no, because he lies about the dumbest, most pointless things.
He does.
Porn stars.
The size of the crowd at the inauguration was the first big one when he was president.
That was an alternative fact.
Yeah.
By the way, that was the worst way to start a presidency I could ever imagine. Yeah. I was rolling my eyes for 2 days.
Ugh. But I just think he lies about they're little white lies. They're dumb.
Right. But why?
That's not really the point I was trying to make. But I don't know what point I was trying to make. There's no point.
Why is she just come?
Can we erase the last 5 minutes, please?
Why is she come flying out of nowhere with all this weird stuff?
I have no idea. It seems to me she's doing nothing but damage, because this Bernie Sanders thing. What the?
Wants her around? Hillary Clinton around?
Does anyone agree with her that no one likes?
There she's lying. She's clearly lying.
That's another Hillary lie.
That's a matter of opinion, I think. I wouldn't call that a lie, but... She hates him, obviously.
Hillary.
What do they live? Chappaqua Housewives or something like that. Just nobody likes him. It's so petty.
It is petty because...
Oh, and no one can...
he should have beat her last.
She also said no one can work with him.
Yeah.
He's been in that job for a long, long time.
I wrote the damn bill.
I mean, what is he? He never is involved in any legislation whatsoever.
One of his biggest lines so far of the campaign is, I wrote the damn bill, meaning that he wrote that bill, the health care bill. I thought he wrote it with a couple other people. It's not just him by himself.
Well,
crazy Bernie.
It seems to me that if the objective is to beat Trump and to only beat Trump, that there's a lot of fuck-ups going on right now. And why she's making them, I have no idea.
Out of the way.
Shut up.
Hillary Clinton's message is old,
and tired.
All of them are.
Let's see what's going on with the ABNN. There's a lot, actually.
This here is breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news. And shit.
Booming.
Oh, boy. First of all, we have the 911 call from the driver. And again, these poor people that have to come in contact with this guy for whatever it might be, whether you're a personal trainer or, you know, you have a charity event and he wants his portrait someone painted of him. And he says, you know what, I'm going to double the pay that was offered for this. And he walks off with it and he never pays.
Right. And then he sexually harasses you.
Mm-hmm. And on and on and on. And, you know, the other one was, well, there's the other one. There's a million. The girl that he says he sexually harassed her, she had a screen grab of him texting at her, you know, I blew a load on your back.
Oh, that's right.
Which, I mean, it's one of those things where there's so many things now that it almost benefits him to have more things because it just stuff recedes into the past and you kind of forget about it.
Right.
It's like, it's just a big pile of crap. But when he said that, I thought, well, that sounds to me like sexual harassment because it didn't sound like she asked him to do that. And if it's on her back, it would seem that she's not looking. So therefore, she may not have had any choice.
Yeah, it's like being shot in the back.
Kind of. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah, it could be evidence in a sexual assault case, the fact that it was on the back. Yeah. He did say it on his text. I mean, he was taunting her. He was clearly taunting her. But again, he, like the contractor that Rob went through, just walks around committing more crimes all the time, and no one can do anything about it. But we do have at least we do have a record of the call to 911. Oh, my God, what a list this is.
Broward County Regional Communications, may I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I have a situation here. I'm making a delivery. The guy is high. He smoked. He's threatened me. He's trying to fight. He throws stones in my truck, in the company's truck. So I need a policeman. I need to make a report.
$800 damage.
Right on the phone with me.
Trying to make delivery to the gentleman.
Okay.
According to the contract, he has to pay the balance prior to unloading. I showed him his stuff, opened the door. So the guys refused to pay.
That way.
In a proper form, it has to be cash or postal money orders. I say you can pay whatever, but with the company. So he's threatening me, he's trying to fight. He jumped on the door, he throws the door.
Okay, so he's attempting to make a delivery, and the subject has a balance.
Yes, you can do whatever you want, guys. Wait, I'm a police officer online. Yes, the point is I don't want to fight with him. I'm not in a position to fight. So there are several of them. He's high. He smokes. He throws stones in the truck.
This guy's not going to be a very good witness.
Little damage to something.
Literally throw stones?
Do you believe he's on something?
Oh, absolutely. He's smoking in front of me.
And he's smoking drugs?
No, so he is definitely hyper because one of his buddies was trying to fight with him to cool him down.
And you believe he's on, you said he's smoking something in front of you.
Oh, he said it four times.
He did, yes.
Okay.
He tried to grab the keys from my hand. So.
Okay, sir. Where are the weapons that he had now, the rocks? Does he still have them in his hand?
They arrived in front of his building. He grabbed several and tried to hold the truck.
I need to get his description. Hello? Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
He is the black guy. His name is Antonio Brown. Probably a footballist player.
Okay.
NFL player.
Is everything okay? Just making sure he's not back out there or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, he grabbed the key from the truck. He opened the trailer forcibly, and now they're running back and forth. So,
who's running back and forth?
Antonio, I see him in the mirror, and his friends.
And what are they doing? They're taking stuff forcefully out of the trailer?
Yes, he's taking stuff forcefully out of the trailer. And it's not his stuff. This is not his stuff. What is he doing?
Don't confront anybody. Don't argue with anybody. Let the police take care of it. Okay?
Okay.
Is that Mrs. Jester's app?
Is that AB? That's him yelling, isn't it?
Or his trainer.
What's going on now?
He's throwing stuff out of the trailer, and that's not even his stuff. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so...
Okay.
That's yes, not what you're referring, because I know you told me him and his friends. Are you referring to Antonio throwing things out?
Yes, Antonio do this.
Do what?
Ma'am, you're throwing somebody else, not even your stuff.
Oh, that's not our
stuff. That's not your stuff, yes.
Okay, God. So no.
We got enough rocks here too. We could build a pretty decent shelter just using rocks.
What a flaming ass he is. He assaults the driver, gets the keys from him, opens the back of the truck. There's a bunch of someone else's stuff in the fucking way. So he just starts trashing the other person's stuff to get his stuff out without paying.
Okay.
Now, seem to me,
well, because it's all about Antonio.
You could pile quite a few charges into that one.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, will they?
Well, damn.
No, he'll have the best lawyers that he won't pay.
he won't pay.
Or no, it'll never go to court because they'll keep dismissing the lawyers like the Florida case. That case is from early 2017.
Talking about the launching of the stuff.
Yeah, when he threw furniture off a seventh story, almost hit a child, by the way. And I believe he did settle with that family. And so this guy had $35,000 worth of damage in his condo, and he's trying to get Antonio Brown to pay, and he will not pay him. And now it finally gets to court. And we talked about it yesterday, and his attorney says, I want off the case. And the judge says, no, this has been going on long enough. You are staying on this case. And he said, well, he's not paying me. You guys work it out. Let's get back in 30 days. 30 days later, says, have you worked it out? No, he won't pay me. Okay, you're off. You can leave the case.
Oh, my God.
And so Antonio Brown now has...
Antonio Brown, footballist player.
He now has... Maybe we get that in the ABN intro somewhere. Now Antonio Brown has 30 days to get another lawyer, and then he's going to show up. He's going to say, well, I don't know the case yet, so I need another 30 days. I mean, this thing is just going to go on and on and on and on. This is how people do this to other people.
Well, he's a strategic genius, though, you have to admit.
By not paying.
Doing all of this, yeah.
Well, being an asshole.
Well, he's locked inside any of his multiple mansions, and it's very difficult to get to him. They have a warrant for his arrest, and for some reason they're unable to arrest him. Should we call him on his phone? Should we get him the Hall Financial Hotline?
And actually, the genius, Trudy, is that this whole time he's been releasing all his new music.
He's got a new song?
Yeah.
And the songs aren't getting the streams up.
This one's called Official.
Hey, you gotta be about your shit.
How many streams,
you
Mark?
You can't be fucking with me, I'm legit.
I don't know. I can't be wasting time with no bitch. Apple Music.
Bitch, I'm official as shit. You gotta be about your shit.
All songs, like, sound the same now.
This sounds as shitty as most of the rap music I hear that's popular. I mean, I would think these would be big hits.
He rhymes shit with shit.
Here, this one's called Goals. I really
want it. Brilliant.
I
ride it.
I just been hitting the goal. I just been hitting the goal. I just been hitting the goal.
Huh?
I just been hitting my goal.
I gotta say, so this is really funny.
How about that?
This is from SoundCloud. And
give me the goal. I want the goal.
And if you ever listen to music on SoundCloud, people can make comments during the song.
Oh, great!
So one was trash. This shit trash. So nobody's, no one's digging it.
I just been hitting my goal, I'm hitting my goal, I'm hitting my goal.
You're hitting your goals?
Yeah.
Here goes another comment, that's what it says.
I just been hitting my goal, I just been hitting my goal.
This is straight trash, no football.
Hold on, turn down a little bit.
The wireless customer.
Oh, shoot.
You never answer.
Should we call Chelsea?
Sure.
For the heck of it.
Just try them all.
Oh, wait, call the trucking company.
This comment was
ass. Do we have them for the trucking company?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love how the 911 operator wanted to know if the weapon was nearby. It's a rock.
No, does he still have the rocks in his hand?
The last comment was Delonte West 2.0.
Oh, did he have a rap career?
No, Antonio's going to end up like Delonte West. Okay. Bro, this is trash. Seek some help.
All right, his name is Bogdan.
Does he have goals? Oh, there's a song called Bad Decisions with Sean Kingston. What? Are you doing a song with him?
Wait, AB?
Yeah.
Well, he'll do a song with the right person. He'll have a hit.
Isn't he fair?
I think
successful,
he will.
Though?
I mean, to me, it all sounds like shit. Oh, come on. Oh, they closed?
Done.
Please leave your message for 7.
What?
Already? 1-1-1-1-1. Yes, I'm calling about the incident with Antonio Brown, trying to help with the investigation here at the ABNN. Please call back the ABNN at the 248 number. We'd like to help you settle this thing. Thank you.
The first comment is, I really think AB's CTE has made him retarded.
Umbrella?
Clown. Yeah, this one's called Umbrellas.
Isn't someone like, not Bieber, but someone like Bieber going to say, hey, he's a big name, I'll make a song with him and it'll be a big hit. And it'll be a big hit.
Oh, yeah.
Can't you just do a song? If you do a song with the right person, it's a hit, it seems to me.
And then it'll validate him and then he'll be a rap star.
I mean, if Bad Baby can sell out arenas, well, not arenas, but Bad Baby is a huge draw.
Sold out St. Andrews.
Did she play St. Andrews?
I think so. Didn't she?
I don't know.
Sounds
year?
Right.
Yeah.
Probably.
If it was a sellout, I'll believe it. Oh, God, this song is crazy. Crazy fucking people. Anybody else on the ABNN that or that would be helpful to the ABNN to call? Because I know you guys were looking for a lot of numbers.
Well, that's his number, guaranteed.
Bogdan.
That's right. Him. Or that,
the trucking company?
Yeah, I mean, and the guy that called 911.
Did he not answer either?
No.
That was what we just called.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought you were calling the trucking company.
We did.
We called both.
He owns it, yeah.
It's his business.
Okay. Got it. Well, fast, simple, easy experience, all while saving you fat sacks of cash. Deals in the D.com. You might want to visit Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Zot Ford, or the best-kept secret in Detroit, Zot Toyota. That's where Thad Zot, Jeff Schneider, Todd Zot, and Steve Gabar take great pride in rolling out the red carpet to Drew and Mike listeners. And they have done a great job, and people, many, many people. In fact, some of those leases are coming due, so hopefully you'll bring Bentley into the mix, all the while making buying or leasing your next new or pre-owned vehicle the most refreshing thing you'll do in 2020. So go surf their ridiculous deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com, and then tell them that the podcast sent you, and I know you will.
Yeah.
And Dr. Roche is busy with boobs today.
He'll absolutely. Be busy with boobs every day,
Next week, every day. Boobs, boobs, lots of boobs, absolutely. Always boobs.
It's tighten up time. Did you know that?
Tight boobs.
Tighten up time, man.
Tighten up time?
Yeah.
Tighten up? Like Archie Bell and the Drells?
Yes, exactly. Time to tighten that bod and tone up all the various areas with their cosmetic surgeries. Stomach and back, arms and legs, face and neck, Diva tightens and tones for greater sensation and to keep embarrassing leaks from causing humiliation. For Valentine's Day, you should do it. And also check out Dr. Roche's SkinCeuticals, the CBD products that they have. Some for sports, some to help you with joints that are achy. There's NeuroSports. Drew and I both got some of that. You guys try to put it on your neck and it's sort of, in a general sense, you know, like lightens everything up. You can put it on your butt if you want. And they do have now pawsuiticals. Did you see all of the CBD pawsuiticals that they have for your dog and cat?
I used those on Mags. Yeah. And in fact, it worked because Greg told me to put some on his neck.
The NeuroSport, yeah.
I did it every day for about 3 weeks. Yeah.
Man. It's Archie Bell and the Drells, man.
And he started coming up the stairs.
Yeah. And they have stuff for like nervous dogs, calming tinctures and itch support and, you know, joint support and stuff like that. So you should check that out on their website, too.
I used to laugh at stories like that, that dogs had, you know, ways to help them psychologically.
Oh, until I had dogs
that suddenly became the most important things in my entire world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true. Yeah. If you have, a really nervous dog, it's kind of
it worked.
A problem.
It worked for Nugget.
And did it?
Yes, the Prozac worked.
Oh, Prozac.
I've completely lost my mind. Well, let me give the phone number out. 248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche or DRROCHE on the website.
To see the before and afters.
Mags, the other day I heard, had one of those playlists on, and Keep Me in Your Heart came on, the Warrens of On song.
Oh, right.
And, oh, man, I almost cried when I heard that line about, oh, God, what is that line? Why would that song make me think of Mags?
All
the things in the world. Yep. I think it was when you get up in the morning and you see that crazy sun, Keep Me in Your Heart. And then the line about his legs are running out of steam, or no, engine's running out of steam or something. It's like, oh, man. Can't I think of someone else and then I won't feel bad? Can't I think of someone else that died and I'll be fine?
Antonio Brown will cheer you up every time, don't you think?
I saw him crying.
In the morning, and you see that crazy sun. Keep me in your heart for a while.
I missed that white, right, that second white form.
Keep me in your heart for a while.
A talented Whoa. Dog.
Crying like a girl.
A beautiful dog.
Has anybody seen the documentary on the Warren Zevon's last album?
Canine,
he was dying.
As they call. I call him a dog.
It's really good. I mean, he's dying, of course. He goes on Letterman and does, I think it was the whole hour.
Oh, yeah. But
he did the whole hour.
Didn't he play this last?
I can't remember what he played. He probably did. I
didn't want a dry eye in the house,
but
of course.
They made this album while he was really running out of steam, and it's pretty cool, and a lot of people help him, too. Like, Bruce comes in. Bruce's day off is Christmas, I think it was, and Bruce came in and helped him finish Disorder in the House, which I thought was really good.
Didn't Steve Gorman...
Oh,
is Steve
Gorman right.
in that thing?
Yeah.
Well, the first time we talked to Steve, I thought we asked him about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he did say he went and did.
He was pretty ill.
Comes for that thing.
Look it up. You know,
I'm just trying to remember if I saw him in the dock.
Is that for real? Bruce's only day off is Christmas?
He was on a tour, so.
Is Bruce pushing how busy he is?
Sure, that's a good point. Why am I not more skeptical? He was really cool, though. Bruce seems to be the guy that you want him to be.
I know he is. I know he is. I know, that's just very self-important.
I really don't understand why so many people hate Bruce Springsteen. He's so likable.
He is.
So there's
I couldn't get through his book, though.
It was
too intense?
No, it was bigger than Churchill's book, for God's sake.
I loved it. I absolutely loved the book. What are you looking at? Gorman?
Yeah, he had a post on Facebook. I mean, this is September 7th.
No, I remember him saying that he was at that session.
Yeah, Warren Zevon, 16 years gone today. 10/20/02 was far and away the greatest right place, right time moment of my life. So it was, you know, pretty much a little under a year before he passed.
And he is no longer with us.
He died. You know who else died?
Who?
Mr. Peanut.
Oh, yeah, they killed him. They wiped him out.
He'll be resurrected.
Mr. Peanut's dead.
It'll be baby Peanut.
Anybody want a peanut?
David Spade had a good joke about that. I tend to watch his monologue every night, and then I see who's in the three chairs, and usually go, I don't know who those people are. So,
right.
But the monologue's usually pretty good.
I flipped by Colbert, and he was talking about the impeachment, and he goes, so surely it was the most important thing yesterday. And he said, except that the death of Mr. Peanut was the number one trending thing.
And
number two was Gritty, the mascot for the Flyers, because Gritty punched a 13-year-old.
Yeah, so we're all doomed.
Yeah. That was great.
Oh, boy. I wanted to talk about the Royals just a little bit. Not much. First of all, today there's a picture of Prince Charles walking down a line of people in Davos at the Economic Summit.
Nobody cares.
And I know, nobody does care. Except that he skipped Mike Pence.
Ooh.
He didn't shake his hand. It looked like a huge snub. And I want to know what's going on here because, you know, it was declared a snub immediately. I mean, it was like, whammo, snub, trending on Twitter. And then Pence's office said, they talked before this meeting, spoke, and they had pictures of them, you know, kind of gesticulating. And I thought, this is, you know, I don't know what to believe. Because I had heard so many times that he'd been snubbed already, and TMZ did a story on it, and somebody else had a story on it. And then all of a sudden, I hear this other side, and they did have pictures, and they were wearing the same thing. I actually looked.
So Pence is saying that nothing happened there.
Charles hadn't said anything, I don't believe. It's Pence's office, so maybe he did snub him. It really looked like a snub, I have to say. But anyway, I'm watching the Today Show today, and the Today Show gets to the Thomas Markle part of the story. And Thomas, God bless Thomas Markle, he is trying to wedge the victim position from his own daughter, Meghan.
Pretty smart.
And I think it's brilliant, and I think
it
could work.
It is working in England.
And he is the victim, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a lot of
he is the victim. His daughter won't talk to him. He missed the wedding. He had a heart problem. It would have killed him to fly over there. So, and he's got a doctor's note proving it.
He's clearly been affected. Look how slow he talks now.
Mark, I think he did talk faster before.
He did.
We can bring out some old audio.
Look, all the energy has been drained from him.
Yeah.
This has been very hard on Thomas.
The Crown owes him. He says Harry owes him. Meghan owes him. I agree. She got every woman's dream, as he said, and threw it away. Mm-hmm. He missed all the pomp and circumstance. He hasn't met Archie. So he has been a huge victim of this whole wedding marriage. He's lost his daughter. They owe him.
Yeah,
I'm with him all the way. Anyway, it comes out of the story. And today's show, Savannah and Al Roker and whoever else was there, they were so disturbed at Thomas Markle.
What?
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous. And Al Roker said, I hope that's the last time we have to hear from him.
What?
Ooh, Roker.
How dare he? I mean, how can you say that? What, if Thomas Markle had said that about Al Roker, he would have been canceled.
No, it was, it's funny how heavy Al Roker can be sometimes, like the Megyn Kelly thing. She needs to apologize.
Oh, well,
I mean, he was really heavy, and it's like, wait, she's on your network. Oh, that's right. You guys want to get rid of her. And anyway.
So he can take his
job. What if Roker's daughter abandons him? I mean, isn't he going to feel the same way?
I think he would. I think he'd understand. He would be a similar victim, not an equal victim, but a similar victim. You can't be a bigger victim than Thomas because, you know, all this pomp and circumstance, the grandchild, he missed it all. And she's snubbing him. But anyway, the reason I thought it was so funny that they were so heavy, oh, my God, this is terrible. It's like, you know, they choose their freeloaders very carefully over there, and he is not a chosen freeloader. So this is terrible. And then I was really stuck on this thought, and it's that 80% of Canada, they've done two polls now. The first one, 73% said, no, we're not paying for security for these dopes. They did a second poll, 80%. So it's going up. People want to pay less and less for their security. Now, I think anyone who has their feet anywhere near the ground would say, wait a second. We aren't even royalty anymore. We want a normal life. I mean, can you imagine expecting a country's taxpayers to pay $10 million a year for your security because
a private citizen?
Because you're a failed actress and a spoiled kid?
Yeah.
I mean, it's preposterous. But then again, I guess we look at it a little differently.
Well, they're trying to take the high road, right?
Canada? They're not really saying, what's his name, Trudeau, Mr. Blackface, which, by the way, she's willing to live in a country with a leader who wore blackface multiple times, but she won't live in the U.S. until Trump is gone.
Or the U.K., because she thinks that they're prejudiced against her.
I just think that, yeah, I know, and I'm still waiting for somebody to explain, will somebody email me? Where was she treated in such a racist manner? It seems to me she's been on the highest pedestal on this entire planet.
I've never seen any of
it. When has she been so poorly treated in terms of racism? I don't know. I don't read the British tabloids. Maybe they have racist headlines every day. I don't know.
Shut up, Meg.
You know, if I were them, I would say, look, we are the biggest freeloaders in the world. We've gotten plenty for no discernible reason. We had a wedding on worldwide TV, no expense spared. We go to charity events where we pretend we care and can do something, and actually we can do absolutely nothing. We get to fly in private jets there and then accept Elton John's money to pay off the carbon footprint. You know, as far as, and I think they probably don't even know about the environment. Is the environment a problem? I don't even know what this carbon footprint, they're so out of touch. I don't even know what a carbon footprint is. But anyway, Bill Elton John. So, I mean, they live this life of just freeloading, and so how would they understand? Because, you know, myself, I'm going, why in the world would a country, doesn't even compute with me, but apparently, I mean, have they said one word, like, hey, look, Canada, stop holding those polls, you're not paying for our security? It seems to me they're kind of like waiting to find out.
I thought Daddy was going to pay for everything. Wasn't he going to pay for those? Not Thomas.
For their security?
Charles.
Yeah, I thought he was bankrolling them for the first year.
Well, I think he's bankrolling them. I think he's not just bankrolling for the first year. I think they get some kind of a payment from him in perpetuity.
Why? I thought they gave up their... I thought they gave that up.
Well, it's not the full royal payment. It's some baseline. I don't know, but the bottom line is, whether he pays for a year or not, they still need... Why do they need so much more security? Now, let's just think
They need such a nice house on Vancouver Island, too.
No, $35 million. What have they done to make $35 million? Well, no wonder he can pay off $2.4 million. But,
he was born and she was in suits.
Yeah. And a lot of made to straight-to-video movies. But, okay, think of a huge celebrity, just huge, Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
If Madonna moved to Canada, there would be no discussion about providing security for her.
She provides her own.
So why would anyone even be talking about providing it for these idiots?
Here's about it, because he's the son of, well, they're not really the head of state, it's a figure, but
he's the sixth closest, and he's renounced his position.
What if Donald Trump Jr. moved to Canada? Would they provide security?
No. Well, our Secret Service would take care of it, wouldn't they?
What if he renounced it, though?
If he were
and he renounced
No, Canada wouldn't pay it.
He renounced his dad.
Not in a million years.
That's why he's moving to Canada. He renounced his dad. It's crazy. No, it's ludicrous that they would even do that.
Or expect that, yeah.
I think it makes more sense to provide security for Thomas Markle, who has suffered so much. And at least he's got the weak heart.
Can they provide assistance for him?
So who's doing it now while everyone decides?
I don't know, but they're suing. She is suing over the pictures they're taking of her. And we all know, I mean, is there any doubt if we literally could make a pact, oh, I wish we could do this, to pay no attention to Meghan Markle, oh, my God, wouldn't she miss it? She would lose her mind.
Yeah, she would.
Wouldn't that be so cool?
She'd be throwing herself in front of cameras.
That's almost as cool as my other idea, which was for all men to stop telling women they're hot so their self-esteem goes down, so everybody's eligible for hotter chicks.
Except there's going to be that one guy who doesn't follow the rules.
Yeah, who doesn't follow the rules.
Ruin it for everybody else and bang all the chicks. Because he'll be the nicest guy.
I had that idea like 3 days ago.
That's on my ideal list. I think it was a good idea at heart. I mean, it's disgusting the way, oh, you're so hot. I mean, walk around a bar one night around 1 o'clock.
Well, see, on the flip side, that guy, those people are ruining it just by doing it.
I know. And the women, I mean, when some stranger says that and he's just bombed, I don't think.
Why are you taking that seriously? You can't take that seriously.
I know. And it's funny that the people in the office who say, hey, you look great today, they're the ones who really are at risk, and they're probably a lot more sincere.
That's funny you can't do it in the office, but once you get to the bar, it's all right.
Yeah.
Expected.
You're asking
you don't
for
work
it.
With them.
Okay. I've got some really sad news today, although I thought it was handled just beautifully, and that is that the cult, the Ann Arbor cult, has got trouble in that the provost, is this the number two guy?
What is a provost? I don't even know what a provost is.
I don't either. They said he was the number two person
at
the University of Michigan. He has multiple allegations of sexual misconduct. And, you know, we see this all the time. Michigan State, Penn State's hazing now. Anyway, generally speaking, when these stories come up, you know, of course, they're horrible. And, you know, you hear all the details and you hear about all the people who should have done something and didn't do anything. And I was fascinated. Go to 10:02 last night on Fox 2. This is the most upbeat sexual harassment story I've ever seen.
All right.
And I think it's the cult is just so positive about itself that they can't resist saying that, hey, we're doing a great job. It's transparent. And it's like, you know, thumbs up.
Oh, they're also winning everything. Even
I think that that's the way I took it around. Maybe I'm just too stuck in, you know, viewing the cult, and I'm not objective. But it's 10. It's just a couple minutes after 10 o'clock. I think it was 1:02:30. But I've never seen such a positive story. And this is a guy way up.
Hey, when life hands you lemons, right?
Yeah.
He's been there since 1995, so it's not like he just started doing this.
Wow, though. I mean,
there's no description, though. There's no description of what he did. Usually there's detail after detail after detail about he did this, he did this, and there's a report of this person, they blew him off. Report of this person, they blew him off. Huh. What's the problem?
It's because it's all disorganized, your Fox 2s. There it is. Because the new one's recording, so it was out of order.
The new 10 p.m.?
No, because 5 o'clock started, and then 6 o'clock, so it was all out of order.
So these are crap. It doesn't work.
Fix your stuff.
Oh, okay. Those aren't usually on this. Usually it's
separate.
It has one time.
Yeah.
And it's got all the newscasts.
Not anymore. Well, no, it does that now.
I think somebody from the cult is fucking with my my cult theory.
They're
always
winning.
Always blaming someone else.
They're winning.
Wait, do you see? I'm telling you, I've never seen. I felt upbeat after this story.
Did you really?
I did. I felt good. It was like, this is like an Up With People story.
Here's Dupes.
It's like seeing Up With People.
That is the conversation all over campus among many of these students as these people are learning that the second in charge here at the university is now on administrative leave pending an investigation into sexual misconduct. The students we talked to appreciate the university moving quickly with this and being transparent. University of Michigan's number two, Provost Martin Filbert, on administrative leave. The move made days after several people came forward with claims of sexual misconduct against the 57-year-old. U of M Public Safety and a hired-on outside law firm now investigating. Typically, Filbert would oversee these types of probes. Now he's the one being looked at. An email sent out Wednesday delivering the news to campus.
Especially in like the climate that we're in today, it's really important that especially the women here at this campus feel that their voice is heard.
Ashley Acaba, a freshman, says University President Mark Schlissel made the right move, acting quick to put Filbert on leave, echoed by fellow students.
I hope that like it sets a strong precedent in the future for what the punishment for this type of behavior is, despite your positionship.
Filbert started at U of M in 1995, serving as the dean of the School of Public Health before being tapped as provost and executive president for academic affairs in 2017.
The University of Michigan is widely recognized public research university in the nation.
Specifics of these allegations being kept quiet for now. University only revealing that several people came forward with claims. Due process to come for Filbert, but students are concerned about his alleged behavior.
I believe that the investigation has at least proven something, or I'd hope that there's something like some nugget of truth.
That's funny. The guy's hoping that he did something. Isn't that weird?
Well, because they made such a swift decision.
Yeah, it makes the university right. I think that's why he hopes that. But I would be hoping that it wasn't true because then no one got harassed.
Yeah.
But he's hoping there is some truth to it. Anyway, I thought that was extremely upbeat. Fox 2 is using is appropriate. And, you know, honestly, Michigan has done so much better job than Michigan State because who was the guy in the music department?
Yeah.
That was a horrible story. And it just went. Whoosh.
That one took too long getting rid of him.
But it was a quick story. I mean, story out.
They broomed the gymnastics coach who was banging the chick in the car.
Oh, yeah. That was a bad one.
They broomed him pretty quick. But we still don't know who she is.
Right. That was in Michigan.
Was the papers deciding not to tell us.
Was she 19 years old and he was 39 or something?
Yeah, and he was
sophomore,
a subordinate, so.
Yeah, and he was caught having sex with her in a car.
Consensually.
Yes, and she is an adult. He's an adult, but he's a gymnastics assistant coach and former All Big Ten, All American, all these things.
Mm-hmm. Hot.
Anyway, very hot. Isn't that hot?
Was he hot?
He's a gymnastics guy. He's in fantastic shape. So the paper the next day said, they identify him, his picture's there. They even use the picture he took. You know, here, take a picture in case you get in trouble. They actually have those in Michigan.
You got to look your best, right?
And he's identified, he's blown out and all that. And then they said the young gymnast will not be identified because of the power imbalance.
You're in the cult, bro!
She's an adult arrested for having sex in a car.
Yeah. Oh, she got away with it then.
It's also her decision.
Well, if the power imbalance is so central to this thing that you can't even name her, then should she even be charged?
I don't think the police care about. I mean, it was the paper and the news that decided not to name her. The police, doing their job.
But it's interesting that the newspaper decides, they make this decision that this imbalance is too great to print her name.
Yeah, well, that's their standards.
Interesting.
Wait a minute. This is MSU, right?
Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
That's why I don't know the story, because Michigan does such a good job of burying this stuff. The music.
Michigan.
As I say, gymnasts in Michigan State, whatever.
Oh, my God. The music teacher, that was going on for decades, and somehow that story was kind of...
That was a weird story. Probably because he's the music guy. No one cares.
That could be.
You're in the cult, bro.
And the only other really bad one was that the doctor sending the text to the 11-year-old, and they sent him to Boundaries Camp.
That was weird.
And then And
where
then,
is that? I want to go there.
I know, and you'd think
that sounds awful. Boundaries camp?
Yeah.
If it was
no boundaries camp.
If it was Penn State or Michigan State,
there.
You would think they'd be going, who sent him to boundaries camp? They should be out of here. But he went to boundaries camp, came back, did it again, and then they got rid of him.
What? Boundaries camp didn't work?
I know, not really. That. Imagine that boundaries camp didn't fix a predator.
I don't think.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, I don't think boundaries camp is going to be much of a solution in the future. I'd be wrong about that. Let's see.
There's some exciting news, Drew.
Breaking news?
I guess it's kind of breaking news, although it happened a little bit earlier today. Remember the video of Wendy Williams farting on the air?
Yes.
And you and I were kind of skeptical. Like, we kind of thought it was fake.
I thought it was fake.
That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery.
It's like she paused for it, and she did lift up her ass,
yes.
too.
So today on her show, she addressed what she's calling Fartgate.
That's smart.
I thought it was pretty smart, too.
She does a lot of things right, I have to admit.
I like Jimmy a whole lot. I'm going to be on there. Hi, Jimmy.
She's talking about Jimmy Fallon right now.
I've been on his show several times.
Jump forward.
You okay?
She wants to have a very serious conversation, she says.
She's been on Jimmy Fallon several times? Really?
I don't know why.
I don't either.
Fartgate.
The crowd loves it.
Look at the crowd. They get off.
They just cut to the black guy doing this.
Right now, okay?
Mouth wide open in a game.
I do a lot here on this show. As a matter of fact, I might have invented a lot because now all other talk shows are trying to do a lot. But this is just me, just Wendy.
Yeah, she fakes passing out. She farts.
When I think of trendsenders and talk shows,
I don't lean over like this to release a fart. I'm leaning over like this because it's comfortable. You know, if I sit like this all the time, you know, it's heavy on my spine. I don't have the back. I'm not trying to get the back. I like to release my hips and lean.
To let a fart out.
Where'd the sound come from then?
She explains it. It's really funny, though. They keep cutting to the crowd, and there's the crowd is mainly women and gay guys, I'm guessing. But they keep cutting to gay guys. They're like, that's right. Yeah, you lean. It's comfortable. Like, they're nodding in such agreement. It's really funny.
You know what I'm saying? And if I shift my wig or I belch or rub my teeth, I've been doing this for 11 years.
Yeah,
okay,
so you're allowed to fart.
Show.
What's happening with the fart? What was the sound then?
I have never farted once on this show. As a matter of
bullshit.
Fact,
that is a lie.
I barely fart. You know why?
She barely farts.
Because gas gets released several different ways, and mine is belching because all I do is fart.
No.
That's not how it works.
You fart like any other human being, lady. Yeah,
that's not how it works.
Anyway.
Wendy.
She has some stinky farts, too.
And I was like, no, because I would have made a big deal.
Total attic farts, because she holds them throughout the show.
I would have definitely been because farts are always
smelly,
funny.
But I love it.
Yeah, she admits farts are funny, though.
Oh, so she would have called attention to it.
She plays the clip. She knows what she's doing, man.
That cop wasn't playing that. I mean, you're lucky you only got battery. What if he filed for sexual assault?
That's totally a fart.
Well, what is the sound? She can say it's not a fart. What is it?
She brings someone out to explain the sound.
I just want to make sure that you all are on board with this. Clap
after
if you know about Fartgate. Okay.
All right, Rachel.
I knew about it.
First of all, I went on with the story. Now, you know a girl like me would have been laughing at that.
No.
Second of all, by the sound of that fart...
Unless it's your fart.
I would have had to go change my costume... I would have left mark in the seat.
What kind of farts does she have?
I would have thrown
it away. Pause for a second.
It would probably be soiled.
Isn't she revealing a lot more than she should?
She's a cushion flipper for a different reason.
Every time she has gas, she has to change
shits.
Clothes?
Yes.
What the hell is that?
And furniture. Wouldn't that be great to be that rich? You just throw your furniture out and fart it on it?
What do these burps do?
How bad do those smell?
I've never heard that excuse ever. People have different ways of releasing gas. I choose burps because I don't like to fart.
Instead of bringing the guy in to explain what the sound is, she should have a doctor on to explain whether or not that's true.
Oz.
You know, I'm soiltivity.
Who could we call about that?
What I suspect, because me and my manager, Bernie, we went over it. You know, probably, I'm like,
really?
Bernie, I got to do Fartgate. And so he said, Wendy, I saw it. It's so stupid. Clearly, you know, there's somebody who superimposed the sound. And people do that all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Superimpose.
And then it goes viral and, you know, whatever.
You do it with Adobe.
So that's what's up with Fartgate. Although Norman says he's got another theory.
I checked the tapes. The sound is there. It's not superimposed. But superimposed. I promise to God.
Not the right word anyway.
I promise to God.
Wait.
When that was happening.
Free, stop.
Yeah.
I would like to have a second person to weigh in on this.
Okay.
My ex-husband and former manager. John. John.
Why isn't he going to comment on this?
John knows stuff.
All right, here comes John.
Just stay right here.
John looks like your typical New York laborer who's a stagehand.
You know I'm a whole bunch of fun.
Right.
And you know I know how to get down and dirty.
Right.
There was no fart. Continue, no. Norman. Listen to what Norman is saying, and then, John, I want you to chime in. Come on close.
I'm trying to make John the fall guy here.
Okay. So during the show, there was an incredible hissing noise.
I didn't hear a hiss.
You didn't hear it, but it was very distracting to me. Right. So I'm, like, in the control. I'm like, guys, there's a hissing noise. Like, what is that?
I would hate to be in the control room with that guy yelling at me.
It sounds crazy. But Kate, the chemist.
Was on Kate the Chemist Day. Okay, John.
Right, so we were doing an experiment out here with a tank. It's called air gas. And we didn't have the proper hose for it.
So I'm doing hot topics the whole time, not realizing any of this chaos is going on.
It's becoming a very big conspiracy theory.
So what this tank was supposed to do is we were filling up a fish tank backstage, and we didn't have the proper hose.
Why are you doing that before the show or during the show?
They're way too much trouble to over-explain it, which means it's a fart.
She should have just said John farted. They're having to be an open mic.
Well, not only
I don't believe that.
Not only is she straining to do some explaining, but it's a bit. This whole thing is she didn't have a topic for her show.
Well, she made it smart to talk about it.
She realized that farts are gold.
And we have story after story about it, so it worked.
So she's claiming that they were filling up a tank backstage with the wrong hose. During the show.
While she's lifting her ass.
Yeah.
Yes. And didn't she try to make it look incidental that she's bringing John? Okay, John, come over here.
She's blaming him.
John's already mic'd up, by the way.
No, they spent too much time coming up with that explanation.
I apparently am not normal. They say the average human being farts between 14 and 26 times a day.
Oh, she farts 40.
I know. Clap if that's you. Be honest. Clap if that's...
Yeah, you fart more than that.
There's such a lot of people in the crowd clapping.
See, I was about to give you some rhythm during commercials, but you just turned me all the way off in the white shirt.
What is that?
That's
I don't
you?
Know what that means.
I see three, Suzanne. I don't know what team.
All right, whatever. Oh, what? What a great show.
The best show I've seen her have.
Fartgate.
This is probably the most entertaining she's been.
I wonder what her ratings are for Fartgate, that show.
I bet they're boosted. Or the next show will be boosted.
Yeah.
We have the boner line coming up in a minute. Brandon, can I have just a brief preview of the boner line?
Synopsis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is there something specific topic? Or is it a lot of stuff? Oh, it's a lot of farts?
Yeah. It's been requested for some more musical fart.
They're enchanting. They really are.
When did people start hearing farts and music sounds? That's pretty amazing. It's a trend. Well, I want to mention Northwestern Tech first, the Heating and Cooling School in Southfield. And HVAC is all they teach, heating and air conditioning. Program's 10 and a half months. Over 50% of the training is hands-on. And last year, over 90% of their graduates got jobs in the field. Many work while they go to Northwestern Tech because it's 4 hours, 4 days a week. And they offer the class at multiple times during the day. So if you work during the day, you can take it at night. If you want to go to school in the morning, you can work in the afternoon and so on and so forth. Within a year, most grads are making $40,000 to $50,000. Within 5 years, many double it. And many open their own businesses, too. Many. Next class starts January 27th. Yeah, we're getting close to January 27th, aren't we?
Couple days, yeah.
Yes, 23rd today.
Northwestern Tech, the HVAC school that works. You can use student Pell Grants, student loans, GI Bill. And you should go to northwesterntech.edu if you want to express your interest in a skilled trade or in changing your career path. Northwesterntech.edu for Northwestern Tech, the HVAC school that works. And the boner line is brought to you by our friends at Lover's Lane. And when we talk about Lover's Lane, we know that you want to go to the all-new sexdrive.com for the hottest stuff that even Cupid can't get his hands on.
You say not everyone should have a voice, yet you give them the boner line.
Quiet.
Hey, boners.
What up, boners?
I got a boner.
Drew, I seriously hope that you've just been increasing your fiber intake recently, because that's healthy for you. with all these dumps you're taking during the podcast, you know, I'm kind of worried. You shouldn't be pooping so much, dude.
Let me just make it to the bathroom before I lose my piles all over myself. Sorry.
Hey, Drew, when you say that Facebook is responsible for the things that people are posting on there, it's kind of like saying that the gun manufacturer is responsible for the asshole who shoots people.
You make very compelling argument.
Drew, Dina Lohan is a gold star MILF, and I would absolutely tap that.
My instincts tell me you're wrong as a dong all day long.
The suggestion, more farts, less politics, especially more farts that sound like riffs of a song.
Everybody!
I have an audio separated at birth. Chuck Berry fart and Depeche Mode, Policy of Truth.
Want two band names for Rick Beato. Ooh. You could say Rick and Mortis or Beating a Dead Horse.
What kind of a wiener name is that?
I love listening to you guys Beato off with each other.
Good one.
I think we might need an alarm for Brandon Spart.
I got a better idea. No fucking way.
Calling to give you a compliment. Kevin Dietzen Studio and the other guys with the Aaron Hernandez, Wessel, I think. Great interviews. It's so good having guys actually in the studio.
Get him out of here.
Just wanted to give a shout out to my boy. We've both been super long time listeners, and I know you're going to beep his name out, and you're probably not going to play this, but if you do play this, I'll buy something on the Drew and Mike shop.
Oh, I like money.
Hey, Drew, first fart on TV, you said it was NYPD Blue, a dead body? Yeah. Way wrong. The first fart on television was Frank Burns from like the first or second season of the MASH television show.
So happy to hear you mention Roadhouse.
Roadhouse, yeah.
Phenomenal film.
Yeah.
Love it. It's one of those ones you catch it on cable. You got anywhere it's at, you can just tune in, fucking watch it.
Is it in 3D?
No.
Not interested.
Hey guys, just found out some fabulous news today. My wife went and saw Dr. Roach for a consultation, and guess what? She's getting boobs!
Nice.
I'm not gonna lie, it's like Christmas, New Year's Eve, my birthday, the 4th of July. All in one!
Show me them big old titties, come on!
That's it today, just a quick one.
Oh, wow.
That guy's going to explode so quick.
No.
So
excited. Listen to the childlike wonder in his voice.
He should be very excited, too.
Yeah, definitely.
And look how pumped he is.
She should get one of those bikinis and go on vacation then.
Drew mentioned Walchek's Hall of Shame.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it, Trudy?
No, I haven't yet. I saw the promo for it, though.
It's really long,
I
but.
I love Walchek's work.
Yeah, no.
Hall of Shame.
He's so good at confronting these guys, too.
Yeah.
And this is a builder. And like he was mentioning earlier, these people all have liens on their new houses that are being built because this guy didn't pay, you know, for the lumber.
Huh.
I think it's worth watching. That's kind of the all this poor girl starts crying.
What quality are the digs then?
The houses?
Yeah.
Well, they don't get finished most of the time.
Oh.
And the one that is finished that the people are living in, the ceiling's cracking.
Oh, so it's all.
There's nails coming out of the drywall.
My God, to add insult to injury.
He always tells you what you want to hear. It just never got done. Nothing ever gets followed through.
Paul also doesn't remember Brent and Emily,
like,
who have a half-completed house in a different sub.
We may not recover financially from this, but the thought of someone else having to go through this.
It's not even about her. It's like the one person who doesn't make it about her.
I just talked to this Brent and Emily on Friday. You familiar with them?
No.
They had a house, Brent and Emily.
Look at the wheels
they had a house
in his head.
Out in Harrison Township. Brent's a firefighter, Emily a working mom. They have two kids and they were supposed to move
it's
into this house
couple.
In December of 2018. They too were hit with delays. Brent finally met up with Paul last September.
We met here.
He kicked
he
his
said
ass.
By Tuesday he'd have a plan and he'd have people here working. And we still haven't heard from him to this day.
They're stuck paying $1,100 a month.
I wonder if he believed him when he said he would be there Tuesday with the plan. It seems like overpromising. If you met him on the weekend, he's like, Tuesday, they'll be here with the plan.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Say, if he said, 2.5 weeks from now, we'll be here and we'll get it done. Then it seems a little more believable.
On their construction
loan. Just a little lying tip.
Brent and Emily filed a formal complaint with the state saying Paul mismanaged money and they'd been slapped with $44,000 in liens.
So this has been a complete nightmare and you're still not even in the house.
No, and we've decided we will never live in this house.
Oh, really? Oh.
It no longer holds the values and the memories that we want it to.
This lady was crying. She hates you. She thinks you ruined her life, her dream home.
Well, you know what? I didn't. Something financially happened to me, which I'm rectifying. That's all I can tell you.
Right around the corner from Brent and Emily's house is
that
Doug's
house. That
house
looks nice.
Hey, it's finished.
Really nice.
But Doug can't get
the model homes look beautiful.
Until we have these liens taken care of, there's nothing we can do.
Doug and his family have lived in the house for more than a year, but they're stuck paying $1,300 a month interest only on their construction loan because they say Paul never paid for the lumber for the house. No one will finance them because there's a $39,000 lien on the home. Paul just makes excuses.
So it'll be done next Friday. It'll be done next Friday. It'll be done then. It'll be done now. Just keeps kicking it down the road.
And when you say done, paid.
Correct.
Paul remembers Doug.
He's got one lien, and that's through Carter Lumber.
Well, what happened with that?
Well, pay it.
I want to tell you the truth, but if you give me a day to 2 days,
see,
okay, I'm thinking
there's the,
that I'll have everything.
There's the early promise. If you said, Mal, give me 2 weeks, then it's a little more believable.
Being rectified. I wish I could tell
Great
you
guy.
Everything right now. It's something that I've done.
What are
okay?
you rectifying? That would be the best question. He's converted funds for his own use, obviously.
Give me your card, okay?
I just gave you one.
I will clear my name. I promise you, I will clear my name.
Paul's had several complaints with the builder's licensing.
His word's good, man.
The state residential building board fined Paul $500 for bouncing a check for a city building permit. Another case, the board ordered him to pay $14,000 in restitution to a supplier. Paul had to petition the state to reinstate his builder's license because he let it lapse. Then he filed for personal Chapter 7 bankruptcy. He reemerged a few years ago, started Sunset Homes,
two stars,
and got his license back.
Six reviews,
but was
two
fined $7,500 in 2016 for building violations. Speaking of violations, this guy said Paul did him so bad he doesn't want his face shown on TV.
And how much day have you put into the house?
What does that mean?
Who knows what he do to his face?
40, I think.
Here's his house. There's been no work
on
it for a long time.
Look at that POS.
I have a lien from the lumber company that says we have received $0, and I have a sworn statement showing that there was supposed to be $35,000 from this draw going to them. So where'd the money go?
Now he's paying $900 a month interest only on his construction loan. Of course, he and his family can't live in this house, so he's actually paying a mortgage on another house. Ugh. What's Paul got to say about him?
It was a little bit of bad blood. He worked for Homeland Security. He tried using a little bit of force on me. Okay. And
so he took his money
the wrong way.
What does that mean?
I can't discuss it.
Meanwhile, the house sits rotting away a block from the beautiful Sunset Home model that impresses Paul's future customers. Paul Esposito says Sunset Homes is coming out of the darkness.
I'm rectifying the problems right now.
Yeah, that's what these people have been saying for months.
But I've been trying to do it. Honestly, I have been trying to do it. I swear on my children, I've been trying to do it.
I'm not sure what's going on here. You're doing bad work. You're doing.
I'm not doing bad work. There's not one person that's going to tell you that.
What
we
about
did
the sidewalk sucked into the ground?
Paul, do I have to introduce another?
Did you show that yet?
Well, he just—I mean—he knew he had this interview with this lady. He's like, I don't do bad work. Oh, really?
I don't know how he sleeps at night, knowing that he has done this to people.
Jessica's Sunset Home was at least finished.
Ooh, sundown
but she's got
by,
cracks all through the
Gordon
ceilings.
Lightfoot.
Nails coming through the drywall throughout her home. She says,
I love the line of, at least she has a finished home.
The monster.
Actually, anybody is more than welcome to contact me.
It could be worse.
And a few doors from her house, one of Paul's half-done eyesores.
Can I prove myself if you give me a couple
days? Yeah, I'll give you a couple of days, but you know, all of these people have said you've been promising them and promising them and promising them.
I've been promising myself something that's supposed to come through for the last year.
What do you have to do with this?
Why don't you give me a clue what it is?
It has to
hitting the lotto?
No. It's financing. Please, don't be a smartass. Well, I'm being considerate.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah, Paul,
that's where we draw the
really
line, being a smartass. Not with converting people's money and forcing them to pay outrageous amounts of money. Oh, my God, what a piece of shit.
I don't think he's very good with money.
I have a question about this.
Yes.
Does the same lumber company find all these people in arrears and, you know, like, hey, by the way, here's your bill for the lumber? Oh, you can't pay it, so now there's a lien on your house. Is it the same company?
Probably not, because this builder probably can't get lumber
from anyone,
from so many people after he screws them. Because he's taking their construction loan, and let's say they need 20 grand in lumber. He orders the lumber, and then he doesn't pay for it with the 20 grand that they gave him with the construction loan. They gave him the money, and he's using it for himself. In fact, I believe after the story, Rob said something about the word is that he bought a bunch of land, probably for his next project.
Mm. Oh, so, like a whole subdivision?
Probably. I mean, sounds like something like that.
A whole subdivision full of shitty houses? Huh.
You know,
half finished house.
It's so tiresome, though, seeing these stories, and these people are walking around looking for more business. Yeah. So they're essentially crimes that are in motion. They're still going on. Rob busts them all the time, and I can't, you know, there's always a lot of complaints about, oh, white-collar criminals, you know, they really get it easy. And they fucking do. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't understand how these contractors continually get away with this when, look, he's done it to this guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy, and his work sucks.
Yeah, and he only has 2 stars.
I love how that side of the house, which is this hole, it looks like a patio. It's really nice. He builds a big hole for the house next door.
I started it after that part, so you can explain it.
Oh, okay. Wait, what? Oh, you started
in the middle? You're upstairs taking a dump. Yeah, because it's a long story.
Can we make the show a little less fecal, please? Come on, we've had Fartgate, Fart Boner Line.
I don't know what you were doing up there.
I'm taking a dump. Can we just, because people are going to say, oh, all they talk about is farts.
And boners.
Anyway, so,
how does he get building permits, though?
So, how did you happen to start in the middle?
Because it's a long piece. So, I started with the girl that was crying because I thought that was the best part.
Well, this giant, it's like a patio. He builds a big hole for the house next door, and it sucks the big patio into the hole.
Oh, my God.
What does he do about that? He just puts up a big piece of plywood that says, damaged, stay out. The people come home, and they're like, what's that? And so he says, I'll fix it. And then
never comes
he
back.
He never comes back, never fixes it. And so their insurance ends up paying for it.
Oh, my God.
I know. What a nightmare.
Your house sucks.
So he's going around doing this to more and more people. He's probably doing it to someone right now.
Yeah.
And yet he can't be stopped. Why can't we flex our muscles on people like this?
I don't know.
Just put him in fucking jail where he belongs.
Well, he never gets another building permit, right?
Well, you would
not after all this.
They yanked it.
We find these people who get business without a building permit, and Rob looks them up, and sure, they don't have one, or it's suspended, or they lost it, and then they tell the people that they do have them, or a friend has it, and he's the one. The company's in the friend's name, but they're the one running around getting the business. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And then, meanwhile, you know, I don't know who we're supposed to let out of jail. I guess it would be the pot people and the drug people. I don't know, the nonviolent people. Yeah. I would much rather have them out committing crimes than
these people that steal tons of cash.
The people that steal tons of cash and destroy people's lives. I mean,
grifters, yeah.
Look how upset that woman was, man.
Well, a couple of those people felt that they're not going to be able to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, possibly ever. Yeah. They worked their entire lives for this special custom-built home, and now that's blown up in their face, and they're suffering all this financial misfortune. Why? How is this guy just allowed to owe all these people all this money that he stole? And then the other thing about
that
prison.
That couple should just go squat in the model home. Just go, well, take out your model home and just
somebody
squat.
Somebody ought to move in there.
Stay there.
Why not?
I don't know. Yeah. Could you do that? Can you squat in a model home?
I don't see why. Yeah. You know what's funny? They probably would come and arrest you
for
trespassing.
Yeah, for sure.
And let him go. But, you know, there's a case today about an 85-year-old man in Detroit who was stuffed into a metal case and killed and left there for days. And a 38-year-old had moved in and is converting this guy's money, spending his money. And they eventually, somebody realizes, hey, where's this guy? And so they go and check and they find his dead body and they charge a 38-year-old with murder. Well, 38-year-old just got out of prison for carjacking, assault, committing a felony with a gun. I mean, we see this all the time where these people just go round and round and round until the crime gets bad enough that they put them out in for good. And the ones that blow my mind the most are the child molesters. Mm. You know, the Oakland County child molester, that guy, and that big story they did was in a Lifetime, the two-part two-parter last year.
Yeah, about Netflix. Pedophile Island.
It was, yeah, oh, yeah, Pedophile Island.
Or what was it called? Or is that an actual name?
Children of the Snow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, it was really hard to watch because, first of all, you know, you've got these four kids that families lost terribly.
I mean, it happened here, too.
Exactly. And they were going ballistic trying to find this person. Could have been you. Could have been you.
I didn't live here.
Brandon was probably about the right age. Could have been you.
I was at that 7-Eleven.
Like, that could have been me.
Could have been me.
It was, anyway, you know, it doesn't get any worse than having a child kidnapped and killed and treated the way these kids were treated. And in the course of the story where they're trying to find this person, you know, who was this? They have all these suspects. They're all child molesters. And some of them are just the worst child molesters. And when they check in on them, of course, they're still doing it. Mm-hmm. They're out of prison after a year or two. And they're back out doing the same thing. And they found child porn in their homes. And I can't, like, what? Why would we let these people? They're miswired. Anyone that wants to have sex with a six-year-old is miswired. And I don't want to take another chance on them.
Yeah, they're not going to be fixed.
And we spend, you know, the amount of money.
Some live on that island.
They
love so much without the kids.
The running water or anything.
Yeah.
Heat.
The amount of money we spend on prisons and keeping people in prison, it's a giant part of the budget. I can't remember the percentage. It's so big, I just go, oh my, we spend that much? And we can't keep these motherfuckers in there longer? And it's always overcrowded, and I didn't get my religious meal.
And think how many are privatized now, too. Run poorly.
Hey, this right here is some breaking news from the Red Shovel Network. And shit.
So I was momentarily thinking it was the ABNN, and then I heard the other sound.
So last we left the Twitter troll.
Yes.
With Dick Marks.
Yeah.
You know, where he said, I'm usually in your corner, Dick, but you sound like a naive conservative in your... in your comment, you should have known better than the marginalized people in wheelchairs.
Jim is getting really good at this.
So Dick Marks responded, I was recognizing Mr. Hawking as the ultimate genius, quote, marginalizing him. God, you're clueless. So I told him to write back and say, nice thinking, a serial wife cheater is the ultimate genius. Hawking cheated on his first wife with the nurse.
Well, he liked gyration.
And he got caught. Doesn't sound too smart to me. So I got to see what Jim's going to write to him. Because you know Mark's will respond.
Fuck you, Mark.
Hey, I didn't do it. You did it. Look in the mirror.
Mark or Mark's?
Smart.
No, I know
you're smart.
Mark's is not going to know which way to argue this because it has so many twists and turns.
I know.
I just need strange.
It just goes to show it things can be flipped.
I wonder if Hawk lived much longer than anyone. With ALS.
Yeah.
You know, he lived for, what, 40, 50 years?
Hell yeah.
Was it, you know, John F. Kennedy, as we know, needed a strange piece of os to get rid of headaches, and he frequently found it, too. I mean, he was in a position to get a strange piece of ass whenever he wanted it. I wonder if Hawk, he said, I need strange. I wonder if strange was what kept Hawk going like that for so long.
Maybe. Pussy kept me young.
So strange is like medicine then. Yeah. It's a breakthrough?
It's for JFK.
Well, just how Michael Jackson was the cure for cancer for those two.
That's true.
Wow. Hey, Trude, what's up, girl? Oops. Trudy.
Oh, this is official.
Oh, I thought it was just being really like, you know.
No, he's hitting on you, I think.
Coquettish.
I think he was hoping for some gyration, Trudy.
He replied a couple times to Richard Marks. He wrote, getting caught cheating makes him not too bright. Ask Jane Hawking. I think she'll agree.
Whoa.
I think Hawking
man.
Is a bad example, though. He was known for literally running around. Literally running around town cheating on his wife. Not very smart of him in my book.
I can't believe Hawk's going to remain silent.
Marks' comeback going to be?
I don't know. We'll see.
Dick Marks.
For the record, Jane was cool with it. We had so many threesomes.
I don't think she was, my man.
That reminds me, speaking of threesomes, has anyone seen the story? This story is so stupid.
Jim Edmonds. Yeah.
Great baseball player. I mean, almost, not quite. He was a very good baseball player. Not quite Hall of Fame. I think he had 400 home runs. He was a great defensive center fielder. He was on some good teams. And he retires, and he always seemed like this. He always seemed like kind of a straight arrow to me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably because the way he looks and the way his hair is cut, you know, it buzz cuts and stuff. Anyway, he has four kids. They get divorced. I think he was, you know, a bad boy while he was playing on the road. He was getting ass here, getting ass. I think he had a lot of headaches, too, that apparently only, only Strange would solve. So he and his wife split up. There's the four kids. And I think Jim, I believe he may have had custody because the kids were on, he had a TV show. One of those reality shows, Real Housewives.
Yeah.
And his new trophy wife, who was like 23, he was 45, 46, she's 23. I think he's 49 now and she's 27. He marries her and she's got, boom, these four kids. And I think they might have had another kid. And they're on this show and all this craziness is going on. And then all of a sudden, boom, they split up just suddenly. And it's like, whoa, what happened there? And she claimed that he was cheating on her. Well, he said he wasn't, and then finally she came out and said, and she's, you know, again, 22 years younger than him,
yeah,
which seems kind of strange that he'd be hustling around. But I don't know, maybe he does, maybe he's got the bad headaches like JFK. Anyway, it turns out she reveals that when we got married, I wanted to do something for Jim, and so I decided we could have a threesome, and I preferred to get my friend because I know her and it's more comfortable. And I thought, oh, boy, that's, I don't know about that theory. But anyway, so they have this great threesome. Everything's cool. But then it seems that she says, Jim is with the threesome girl now.
Yeah.
So Jim comes out and says, and she's never named. She's not been named at this point. Jim comes out and says, my wife begged for threesomes. I didn't even want that many threesomes. She was begging for it, and she was meeting these girls on her own. So this thing's just getting wilder and wilder.
She's saying she's being sex-shamed now by Jim.
I know. I hate when people say that. But anyway.
She also said, I'm the mother of his children.
I think one of his kids. Maybe she's got more than one.
I think they had like three or four. Yeah.
They did? He and the young one did? Good God.
I could be wrong, but I thought so. She's 35. I mean, it's possible.
Oh, she's 35?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought she was younger.
You know where she revealed all this, right?
On her podcast.
Yeah, Intimate Knowledge.
So, anyway.
With Brooke Burke.
Today, I know, Brooke Burke. Oh, my God. Is anyone.
Send it to Who Are These Podcasts?
Is anyone a more mediocre broadcaster than Brooke Burke, by the way?
The host of Rockstar?
She was so bad on that show. Yeah. Oh, my God, was she horrible. She looks great. Well, Wild On, she was good at that because she was in a bikini on beaches. And like she's Brooke cute Burke. As hell. I mean,
yeah, I don't think I want to listen to a podcast. But
no, I think I'll skip that. Anyway, today it was revealed that the threesome friend that Jim has now got something going on with, her name is Courtney O'Connor, K-O-R-T-N-I-E. And I quickly looked at Courtney, and then I looked at Jim's young Mrs. Edmonds, and I said, wait, she brought a girl into the threesome who's much hotter. That's a huge mistake.
Yeah.
This chick is hot.
She is smoking
hot. She's a Playboy model.
Brandon, look at Mrs. Edmonds, who's only 35. I thought she was younger than that. She's pretty, but oh, my God, this Courtney is smoking. Playboy. Apparently, the wife couldn't stay away from her.
Courtney O'Connor was Playboy's Cyber Girl of the Month in 2007.
What a title that is.
Must have been a fun threesome.
She's also been in music videos for Saliva, Hinder, and Nickelback.
Jesus. That picture of her in the Daily Mail today where she's bending over and...
Well, that video.
It's the whole video.
The video's great.
Oh, wait.
Well, she can hear her talk. Look at her.
Yeah, that was just a screenshot of the video.
She is just...
Turn up the audio. And see,
I mean, she's an 11.
From Newport Beach, California.
No one else will ever be.
Is that her singing?
I've been modeling since I was about 14 years old.
14? We can take
Apparently she's available for threesomes any old time. Okay, I don't need to hear this song. See how hot she is.
My favorite music would be classic rock, AC/DC.
Yeah, no one cares.
Jim Morrison, Steve Miller Band, Led Zeppelin, my favorite.
As if no one's being Dreamweaver. That part of the video. Anyway, she's, oh my God, she's an 11, and Mrs. Edmonds is like, I don't know, she's an 8. She's really pretty, but you don't bring in a hotter chick for the threesome?
No.
Do you?
No.
I mean, am I crazy?
Amateur.
No.
Anyway, I thought that was interesting. Because I was wondering, who is this threesome chick who apparently the wife can't stay away from? She's meeting her on her own, and Jim ends up with her, and sure enough, she is smoking.
No, that's the best way to have a threesome.
If you want, I can even call my girlfriend over for a little fun.
I've known dudes who had threesomes, and it's like, hey, how was the other chick? Hot? No, but it was a threesome.
I'm here with this really cute guy, and we both want you to come over and party with us.
Did anyone happen to see TMZ? It was on, I think it was about 34 minutes in today, if you want to get look at the video. Jocelyn and Azriel, the last two R. Kelly babes, are in court because Jocelyn assaulted Azriel as she was leaving. So Jocelyn is leaving court. And her mother and her two sisters are begging her, you know, watch the documentary. He's lying to you.
That's
he's lying.
Stupid.
And this girl's just pretending she's on the phone, pretending she's on the phone. And then she just kind of darts away from the family.
She's the one who.
She's the one that assaulted Azriel, who left. Azriel left.
She's also the one, I believe, who her parents, the mom and dad, have been very aggressive in. Trying to get to her, right?
They have been very aggressive, and she has been saying that her parents are trying to extort R. Kelly, and they wanted her to get sex videos. Their whole idea was to get sex videos with R. Kelly and extort him for all this money, which Azriel said the same thing until she left, and now Azriel says that's bullshit, and in fact, both Jocelyn and R. Kelly were having sex with me when I was underage.
And remember, her dad's the one that confronted R. Kelly's PR guy.
Yes.
Press conference.
Yeah. That didn't go very well. The guy quit, like, right after the press conference.
Hey, where's Harvey?
He was walking around.
Yes. Well, the fight that led to Jocelyn Savage being in court
dude's hair?
Was all over R. Kelly.
Well, he's always got the tall hair.
At the condo with Azriel Clary, as Azriel was taking some video of her things.
I never saw that video.
Horrific brawl. And
they are just
even though Jocelyn's on the bottom there, she's the one who ended up getting arrested for assault.
Thank God someone's filming it and not breaking it up.
So she was in court this morning. She pled not guilty to the battery charge, and then as she was walking out, ended up in another conflict. This time with her family. You're
going
to see as she's walking out of the court, there are two young women who are trying to get her attention.
Right.
Those
are
her sisters, but eventually her mother comes into the picture. It was not a pleasant exchange.
How hot is her sister, by the way? Man, is R. Kelly watching this?
You can see her family still down.
Yes, this is so sad. This girl.
I mean, she is on the phone, though.
No, she's not.
What?
I don't think she is.
Know that.
She just her sister's hotter than she is.
She's on the phone. She couldn't talk. It's rude.
If I were her.
I tried to use the phone!
I'd be nervous about being replaced by the younger sister, who's really pretty.
Go home to mommy.
Yeah, she's still too old for our kid.
Probably not what I should have taken from that exchange, but
no,
I can't help
this stuff.
It went right to the front of my brain.
Yeah,
hot sister.
Right?
Really pretty. Now, I had so many people, and people are still sending them in like crazy. Favorite cover songs. And then Natalie. Okay. Natalie is a big New Wave fan. And although she's a much younger New Wave fan, she listened to Christina on 89X.
Oh, yeah. Time Warp.
Classic alternative Time Warp. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that seems like a century ago.
And so she was saying, there's so many great songs in that period that don't get played in the radio. And I said, hey, send a list. So she did. She made a list. Mm. And she goes deep, too.
Ooh.
So deep.
Let's see how deep.
What Do I Get, Buzzcocks? I don't even hear Buzzcocks usually mentioned. Natural's Not In It, The Gang of Four. Anything, I'll give you. Dramarama. This Must Be the Place, Talking Heads. I Confess, The English Beat. Watching the Detectives, Elvis Costello. Big Mouth Strikes Again, The Smiths. The Chauffeur, Duran Duran. The reason I liked her list was because there's a bunch of songs in here I don't know that well, and I want to listen to them. Stripped by Depeche Mode. Depeche Mode, they don't get a lot of airplay, do they?
No.
What? No one plays The Cure either. Why would no one play The Cure? Those are really... I mean, they're a very melodic band. They rock.
Some research guy scienced it, and they don't think we listen to it.
Let's see. Bring on the Dancing Horses, Echo and the Bunnymen.
Wow, that is a deep list.
Destination Unknown by Missing Persons. Missing Persons had a few good tracks. Pretty in Pink, Psychedelic Furs. That, to me, and I actually expressed this to her, I think she threw me a bone on her list. I think Pretty in Pink is a perfect radio song from that first jangly guitar note.
Yeah.
It's like you could play it out of anything. You play it out of a fade. You could play it out of a cold ending.
And happy sounding.
I didn't like when they softened it up for the movie. But yeah, it was in a John Hughes movie.
Of course.
Just Another Day by Oingo Boingo. They had a couple cool covers, too. I'm trying to remember what they were. Mirror in the Bathroom, English Beat. Pump It Up, Elvis Costello.
Oh, love it.
Oh, Clamp Down by The Clash. What a great song!
Wow.
And I don't think we mentioned in the covers list, I Fought the Law by The Clash.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a really good one. Just When I Needed, The Cars. A Girl in Trouble is a Temporary Thing, Romeo Void. Also, how about Never Say Never by Romeo Void? I Might Like You Better If We Slept Together. I Might Like You Better If We Slept Together.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Never Say Never. I think it's in a couple movies. Yeah. They were Romeo Void was pretty big there for a while. In the City by the Jam, Alex Chilton, The Replacements. No one plays The Replacements, do they?
No.
Is Paul Westerberg or The Replacements, are they ever played on radio? I don't think so.
89X played them back then.
Back then.
Yeah.
Red Skies by The Fix. That's a great song. I like that. Cities in Dust, Susie and the Banshees. Swamp Thing by the Chameleons. Cut You Up, Peter Murphy. Great pick. I would go for Indigo Eyes by Peter Murphy, too. Maybe a Bauhaus track. Don't Change in Excess. Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs. Blood and Roses, Smithereens. The Perfect Kiss, New Order. So Alive, Love and Rockets. That was a hit.
Yeah, that one was.
I don't think anybody plays...
I have no idea these words you've been saying the last 3 minutes. No idea. I thought we were talking covers, and we forgot the biggest cover possibly ever.
What?
I don't know. It's just the biggest one ever.
Oh, God. Oh. This isn't a cover list. This is her not played on the radio list. Though.
This isn't played on the radio either. It should.
And it should be, because it's the best song I've ever heard.
Lovely Rita, need a man. Nothing can come between us.
Try listening and not smiling to this song.
I can't listen to Military Man.
But you're in such a good mood, though.
You can actually dance to this one.
Apart from the beat.
He also covered Lady Madonna, I recently found out, because someone sent that in.
Why would you do that? Because you know he's going to play that one now.
Meet her, babe.
Anything's better than that.
What?
I like Lovely Rita. I just don't. That's one take. So he came in and did one take.
He nailed
like
it.
That? If you like Lovely Rita, how can you not like that? He's having fun with it.
Okay, the rest of Natalie's not played on the radio list. Why Can't I Be You by The Cure. Nothing by Depeche Mode. Live at the Rose Bowl version. Space Age Love Song, A Flock of Seagulls. Transmission, Joy Division. She doesn't go for the obvious one.
God, that's a playlist and a half.
80s by Killing Joke and Pale Shelter by Tears for Fears.
Next!
Oh, great song. And then there were more covers, too. These are all over the place. You know what nobody mentioned that I thought was a good one was Throwing Stones covering Dylan Like a Rolling Stone.
That happened?
It's Unstripped. I mean, Like a Rolling Stone is a very well-known song.
Yeah.
All My Love and Amy Winehouse, one of my favorites. The Passenger by Susie and the Banshees. Cyndi Lauper covers Prince, When You Were Mine.
Oh, yeah.
Which, it's a pretty good cover. I know it was a hit. No More Mr. Nice Guy, Roger Daltrey. I've never heard that.
Huh.
Somebody mentioned Jose Feliciano, Light My Fire and California Dreamin'.
Of course.
I like both of those. I really, I don't know why, but I didn't used to like him, but I really like him now.
And he was good on the show, too.
He was great on the show. So was his wife.
Oh.
All the leaves are
got his own sound.
No energy.
Have you ever heard Pete Townsend doing Save It For Later, the English Beat song?
I love your eyes.
Somebody sent that in. That's a great cover. I mean, anytime Pete Townsend covers something, it's got to be good.
Really?
What?
Pete
Townsend?
I'm sorry. I'm actually reacting to something earlier.
Was it a drop?
It might have been.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
What happened? Did it not play?
I know.
Oh, no, it played.
Oh. Play it again.
I love your eyes.
What happened? Look at, they're beautiful. Look at that picture of him there.
Oh, my God. See? No sunglasses.
You know, he's got beautiful eyes.
Okay, he really does.
No energy.
I'll Take You There, The Staple Singers by General Public. Take Me to the River, Talking Heads.
That's a good one.
Al Green did the original. A lot of people think Al Green covered it. No, it's Talking Heads did the cover. R.E.M. Wichita Lineman. I believe me, I know many Wichita Lineman covers.
Yeah, one day you played 50 of them in a row.
And then Chris.
I am a lineman for the county.
It's my favorite one.
It's a good one. Chris was, we were trying to get some Fish covers out of Chris. It's really hard because he's not that big. I'm kidding. He's a Fish madman. He says.
Sure seems fishy.
Guitar Gently Weeps, Sneaking Sally Through the Alley, Robert Palmer. I thought that was a Little Feet song for some reason. It sound, doesn't it sound like a Little Feet title?
Sneaking Sally Through the Alley, yeah.
Shine a Light, The Rolling Stones, Boogie on Reggae Woman, Stevie Wonder, and Killing in the Name of by Rage.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, that's a cover?
It's a cover. Well, no, it's covered by
Fish. It's covered
by Fish. Fish covers it.
Ah.
All those are Fish covers.
Wait, can we hear that?
Sure.
I don't know if it's they have a studio version, though, do they?
I don't know if they do, but they've got live versions of almost everything.
Isn't that why their shows go on like 7 hours?
Yeah, I really feel like I missed the Fish boat, but I'm trying to swim up to it.
Brandon, this might be a better one.
It's going to take a long time to catch up.
I like this.
You know, they cover an entire album on Halloween. Isn't it Halloween or is it New Year's Eve?
No, thanks. What?
Okay. What? You can talk to Christopher.
Well, no, it's his band. That's great. I'm glad he likes it. It's just not.
Love Rage.
I love Rage. That's the problem.
This is a compliment, isn't it? Now you do what they told you. It doesn't have,
doesn't it lose kind of its
it doesn't
power
have as much
punch.
Anger because it's Fish and they're a skosh like that? Or is that wrong? Are the Fish people going to jump on me?
Oh, I just.
They might.
Yeah.
There was a story today about Michael Che from Saturday Night Live. I never knew much about Michael Che other than I see him on Weekend Update. He and Colin Jost. And they seem to be doing well. I think he's very popular. Yeah, he married Scarlett Johansson. So, yeah, he's doing great.
His name's Colin Johansson now.
It should be. Anyway, this guy, well, I'll just read the story. Live in New York, it's Michael Che's weird fixation with me. Mm-hmm. My feud with SNL head writer has lasted several months, all because I said his show was unfunny. Michael, and you know, I honestly, when I first read that, I thought, why would Michael Che take that so seriously? Well, Michael Che is the head writer, so. Host a Weekend Update. Can't Stop Talking About Me began last June when SNL launched a website to take open writer submissions. The submission agreement included the same type of standard language you'll find in any submission, absolving the show from claims of theft should any future segments end up similar to submitted material. That's, I'm not sure that's really too cool, but they're SNL, so they can do whatever they want.
Right.
But the SNL submission included a unique clause, one I'd never seen before, basically stipulating that if you link to your social media, everything on it would be considered submitted material and subject to the same legal resolution.
Oh,
that's horseshit.
It's total horseshit.
What a weaselly way to be able to steal jokes.
SNL was essentially giving themselves the power to cherry-pick the feeds of anyone who submits. So I did what I always do, when something is even mildly annoying to me, I made a nasty little post about it on Twitter.
Huh.
I posted screenshots from the submission document with the pithy caption, "The funniest thing about the SNL writer's submission site is it absolves them from stealing your ideas and then also says if you include a link to your social media, it counts for everything you've ever posted as well." At first, the post got maybe a dozen retweets. When I posted this, I didn't tag the show. nor mention any of his employees by name. But within 15 minutes, Michael Che found my post and reposted it to his Instagram story.
Whoa.
Over the screenshot was a big block of white text reading, LOL, the shit people worry about. I think you'll be fine, man. He followed up with a screenshot of a DM from a follower asking who I am, to which Che responded, he's one of those bearded white guys with glasses that hates SNL. Not much about his personal life on there, but I'm sure it's awesome. So, wow. Let's see. So
not
there's the post.
Very scathing.
One of the bearded white guys. Oh, his picture. You know, his Twitter picture. He's a bearded white guy.
Mm-hmm. Well, so is Jim Bentley.
True. Well, Jim doesn't have a beard right now, does he? Or does he? Well,
no,
he's... Oh, his picture?
No, he's Biff.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Biff.
Because Reese...
Yeah, he got picked on too much.
Yeah, Reese is getting
mainly
trolled.
By Jim.
I mean, isn't that funny that... Well, Jim just would join in once people started.
That's how you freak people out.
That's what's funny about Jim's trolling is Jim never gets hurt. Jim is never butthurt. He's always, if he really gets pounded on, he starts agreeing with the people, and then I think they get bummed out by that.
The trick is we've decided to flip it on them to really confuse them.
Right. I know. That's great, though.
And they can't figure it out, like, which way this
they don't know how to be mad.
I think they
just like with Hogg, it's like if you say you agree with the message, but you just don't like him, they don't know what to think because the man becomes more important than the message.
Right.
In the end, I think when Jim's sequence ends, the other party knows they've wasted a lot of time and they've achieved nothing.
Yeah, they feel empty.
I know.
They should.
Still no response from Richard Marks.
But Dick Marks is coming here on Valentine's Day, by the way.
Yeah, looking for Jim.
At MGM.
Yeah. Okay, so back to our bearded white guy.
Needs to be something.
I am a bearded white guy with glasses who hates SNL, so for one of the few times in this piece, I will award Michael Che some credit. The reason why I hate modern SNL is very simple. I've watched it. This is a show that happily invited Donald Trump to host when he was merely a super racist presidential candidate and then went on to do the weakest political comedy of all time during his presidency. Last year's Don't Stop Me Now, parodying sing-along with all the members of the Trump cabinet, and the Deal or No Deal sketch that culminated in Trump choosing a box of hamburgers, stand out as particularly low lows. Since 2015, SNL's 40th anniversary special, The Show, which has always featured celebrity guests, seems more reliant on cameos and stunt casting than ever. Whether it's every member of Trump's cabinet being portrayed by a movie star or an SNL cast member from only a decade ago showing up to raucous applause for the 10th time this season. I have to admit, the applause, I do find that annoying. Mm-hmm. I don't remember that. Maybe because they didn't have so many walk-ons, but it's like, oh, Kate McKinnon's dressed as a man, and you hear this uproarious laughter, and it's like, but she's always doing that, it seems like.
Right.
And the bit isn't funny, but anyway. There are some talented comedians.
Watch out for Che.
Yeah, I know.
Come for you.
Thank you, Trudy. There's some very talented comedians who work on SNL, such as Bowen Yang and Kyle Mooney. Unfortunately, that's not evident in the quality of the show.
I agree 100% with that. I mean, I'm telling you, I hate the fact that they have to bring in every single person for a cameo now. In years past, they would have used the cast, and now they don't use the cast.
Well, aren't they stunting the cast?
Yeah.
By not using them?
I think so.
The problem, though, is that it works because their ratings are so, you know, aren't their ratings really good right now?
I think they're good. The last time I checked.
I'm just saying, if you're them, why would you change?
I think their ratings are not as high as last year, and they've had some
Eddie Murphy was huge.
They've had some bummer episodes. Eddie Murphy was great. Yeah, that was the biggest show in a long time, I think. In a follow-up post, Che revealed the reason why my criticism specifically bothered him so much. He works for Kimmel. Oh, he, as in the author, works for Kimmel. He works for Kimmel. I love Kimmel. This wasn't correct. I quit Jimmy Kimmel Live in 2016, but it showed that Che was motivated to respond to my critique because it came from a fellow writer of late-night network variety TV. Where I'm still a professional TV writer desperate to remain employed in the industry, I'm exactly the kind of person who would never say a negative word about SNL publicly. But after my 2 years at Jimmy Kimmel, I decided I didn't really want to work in variety sketch anymore, thus freeing myself from the entertainment industry. Omerta, on ever saying any TV show or movie is bad. I've relished in the newfound freedom. You'll know and maybe even be annoyed by it if you follow me on Twitter. But it's nice after over a decade to finally be allowed to say publicly what I've said privately among friends. Che was fixated on me for the rest of the day, sending out another Instagram story with an absolutely baffling dunk on how I hate dodgeball and restaurants where you have to take off your shoes. His posting culminated in a mantra I've seen repeated time and time again. In block text, he wrote, I'm always baffled by comics that publicly shit on comedy jobs. Here's some unsolicited advice for people who want to work in comedy, LOL. Don't do that. I mean, unless Twitter personality is your professional ceiling, it's a bad idea. This is a common refrain from bosses in entertainment when they get called out online, but the fact is Michael Che is right. If you're looking to get hired on SNL, you probably shouldn't do a bunch of posts about how SNL is bad. I am not trying to get hired on SNL, which renders his point moot.
Wow, this is a lengthy battle.
After our first day of back and forth, I thought I wouldn't hear from Che again. I was very wrong. I would be going about my day-to-day life before suddenly receiving a deluge of messages from people warning me I was once again in the SNL head writer's crosshairs. Then I'd be pulled into another back and forth as I'd respond and watch him reply on Instagram. Our correspondence was never direct, which allowed it to be nastier, and here I'll admit some complicity. Had I not been so resolute in taking shit, Che probably would have stopped. Alas, I was, because of how absurd it was, and so it continued. Sometimes weeks or whole months would go by with nothing before all of a sudden I made another appearance on his Instagram story for his 400,000 followers.
Don't you love social media?
There's a time we bickered about the function of the applause sign on SNL. There was a time he dunked on me for offering tuition-free slots in a class I was teaching. There was the time I posted about making Campbell's tomato bisque wrong, and the day Che spent the afternoon making fun of me for eating soup and saying I must be saving up for a gun. Wow. Saving up for a gun? Oh, because he's eating soup, because it's not expensive.
Ah, good one!
He mocked a podcast I appeared on because a Patreon only cost $5. Between this and large block text Instagram stories, I'm forced to conclude Michael Che is an early onset boomer. He spent the Friday afternoon before the David Harbour hosted SNL posting that I was miserable and also knowing I made a pie that afternoon, which to me just feels inherently contradictory. Let me get past the post. In December, I went out of town to spend the holidays with my wife and dog. It was a great time. Cambria was beautiful. We watched Little Women and Uncut Gems. While driving home the day after Christmas, I know. Well, Uncut Gems is the movie. Oh yeah. Did you?
No.
You haven't seen it?
No. I saved that part of my life from Uncut Gems.
Well, it'll be on Netflix, won't it?
Oh, sometime.
I might watch it again. Actually,
I will not watch it. No. Then either.
I have no interest.
While I was driving,
or Little Women. So.
No. No one. No one saw that.
No one.
While driving back home, I got a heads up that Che was posting about me once again. I went to his Instagram story and found he had posted a DM from someone who holds a personal grudge against me that was filled with both lies that I'm a Trump supporter and smears about my history and personal life, that I've done cocaine and gone to strip clubs. This latest round was so personal and such a clear attempt to cancel me that I couldn't help but feel this was blood sport now. We're playing for keeps. This all started because I said the submission guidelines were weird and that the show sucks. Now I've got this TV personality millionaire spending his time off researching my history with drugs. I'll save him some time. I've done drugs and gone to strip clubs. I did not vote for Trump. You know, that is really pretty shitty. Why does he want to get into his drug history?
Why does anybody who's in entertainment and busy need that kind of crap?
You would think he's got
like
better
Dick Marks.
Yeah. You're right.
And
yeah.
Some other people who
I don't know.
Just like
Michael
go on
Che
about your day.
Must have some really thin skin.
Well, yeah. He was here last year and he's not even entertaining the idea of being on our show. So.
Oh.
A sort of feud.
Possibly he doesn't take podcast interviews either.
Oh, well. He hit me with increasingly personal attacks, actively trying to destroy my reputation. If I had slightly thinner skin or any desire to work in Hollywood again, it probably would have been very upsetting. I see Chase posting DMs from JDB. Michael, if you want my advice, RE, start a podcast with him. It's been going on for 6 months because I said SNL had a weird clause in its submission fine print. And then he posts... it's another person posting about him for Michael Che. I'm not the only person Che is obsessed about in this way. He's extraordinarily attuned to online criticism, no matter how baseless. Stephen Hyden, a cultural critic for UpRocks, wrote a piece in April titled, "Why Does Everyone Still Hate SNL's Colin Jost?" which caught him Che's ire. Che apparently didn't like the column. He decided to mock me on his Instagram, Hyden told me. He called me a mediocre, white-ass dude and then said, "I like to suck off rescue dogs." Also, someone who can't say it was Che, though it happened immediately after he went into his tirade against me, went into my Wikipedia page and changed it to reflect my supposed preference for having sex with canines.
Jesus.
In the end, Hyden said he understands why Che did what he did. Colin Jost is his friend. He was feeling protective. I get that. I think celebrities have a right to publicly respond to their critics. Hyden stressed he's not a victim, but this kind of response to criticism is not typical. This is the first time a celebrity has accused me of having sex with dogs. It hasn't happened since. "It's all very weird," said Seth Simons, an online contributor, freelance comedy journalist, and frequent Che target. Michael has an extremely Well, he must have a lot of free time during the day, maybe, or during the week, because he's not in skits.
Why is he writing?
A weekend update could be funnier than. Oh, he's going to come after me now. Oh, no.
Michael has an extremely powerful, visible position that he uses to obsessively demean people who criticize him. But couldn't you get canceled for this kind of shit if you weren't Michael Che, if you were someone else?
Well, he's not doxing. He's just harassing.
Well, he's going out of his way to you know, get into people's personal lives and. I don't know. It just seems so shitty. I'm so surprised by this because he doesn't seem like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But what do you know about somebody you watch on TV? What do you know about somebody you listen to on the radio? That he can apparently do this
sinister
without consequence signals to every other bully in comedy, an industry full of bullies, that they can too. I reached out to Che via Instagram DM to provide him opportunity to comment and respond. At the time of filing, I have not received a response. So. And then he includes some more down here where he's talking about something entirely different.
Maybe he just felt like he needed a beef. A Twitter beef.
Maybe.
I think he's done it before, though.
This guy's posted, LOL, I fucking love this guy. What a dork. And then, let's see.
I don't know. I saw Che just get all the support online. When I was looking on Twitter, it was all people going back after Jack Allison for writing that piece.
I think it's an interesting piece, really. I mean, this stuff goes on all the time. I mean, Bentley could write a piece. Well, who's going to support Jack Allison? Michael Che has entree to this incredible world of Saturday Night Live and probably has, I would think, a lot of pull. So, I mean, are you really going to, especially after he beats the shit out of this guy online and gets into his personal behavior, I don't know why people would side with Jack Allison. Unless they just don't care. Like many in his position, Che attributed these critiques to clickbait, jealousy, or just plain unfairness. More than anything, it reflects the conflict-free bubble where he lives his everyday life, as he's accustomed to a level of deference by virtue of his position. When everyone in your personal orbit either works at SNL or wants to work at SNL, it probably is a shock to see SNL is bad stated. When that bubble is pierced, he appeals to his job title, accusing people of jealousy, or in my case, falling back on the old, you'll never work in this town again. If that fails to silence his critics, he resorts to personal insults of a caliber that only one of the greatest minds working comedy could accomplish. This culture of self-congratulation and shutting out criticism is a great way to feel good about making a lot of money, working on a big TV show, but it also stifles what could be useful self-reflection about one's work. On the less vital end, this is part of what makes SNL so tired creatively. Our country's most storied comedic institution feels like it has no cultural responsibility beyond delivering the required number of weekly minutes. On the more vital end, this brand of self-protective creative nihilism can lead to a staff of professional comedy writers dutifully providing presidential candidate Donald Trump with their services for an hour-long network TV campaign ad free of charge. Working at SNL is a crown jewel for career-focused comedians. Blah, 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 blah. Let's see if there's anything else in here.
It is interesting that he did it over the course of a half of a year.
Yeah, it's a long time.
It's a long feud.
He does get into something slightly interesting here. Wait, this vehement aversion to criticism seems to have taken hold across rich professional comedians. Jerry Seinfeld, worth nearly $1 billion, can't bear to set foot on a college campus for fear of an 18-year-old getting mad at him. Last year, Chase SNL castmate Pete Davidson stormed off stage of a show at the University of Central Florida after calling them privileged little assholes. Then hours before performing in December, ticket holders to Davidson's stand-up performance were required to sign a legally binding non-disclosure form. Finishing more often requiring audience members place their phones in bags, lock pouch. People say this about cancel culture, but I'm not convinced, at least not fully. To be frank, I think a lot of these comedians are fooling themselves if they think they're doing anything edgy or interesting enough to be canceled for. What material is Jerry Seinfeld going to do that will get him canceled? He already dated a teenager and nobody cared. That was weird.
Yeah, but
he did marry her.
But man, that was a good show. The show was good.
The show. Oh, yeah. The show was great.
That's why one cared.
Trudy, when he started dating Shoshana.
That was huge. That was big.
That was really weird.
Yeah. There was a lot of, I don't know. I mean, it was back at a perfect time, though, before a lot of social media.
You know, that was right.
Big TMZ.
It was very well timed.
Yes.
Well, it was right when his show was ending, too. So what was he going to get canceled from?
Oh, that's true.
And he was so beloved.
Yeah.
But wait, is that? He didn't marry Shoshana, did he?
Yeah, he did marry Shoshana. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's the mother of his kids?
Yes. The big
boobs? No. He stole Jessica Sklar.
Oh, from Niederlanders.
What? Yeah. I thought they were the same woman.
I think so.
So Shauna
had huge boobs.
Oh, the biggest boobs ever. I mean, you couldn't even focus on her age because her boobs were in the way.
Yeah, but he dated her when she was underage and then married Sklar, broke up her marriage. Weren't they engaged?
Does natural cup size affect what your chronological age is, possibly, to some degree?
That's a good question.
How old is she there?
She did not look 17.
She was 17 when they started dating. Yeah, they dated for 4 years.
You know, it led to a weird
I'm fucking 17
moment on our show because I forgot why we were talking about Jerry Seinfeld, but we had Dennis Miller on. And I said, boy, it seemed kind of strange that he would be dating a 17-year-old. And Dennis Miller got real defensive, like, you don't know him. You don't know Jerry Seinfeld. How can you pass judgment on Jerry Seinfeld? And I said, well, I watch him. I love everything he does. Yet I find it strange that someone 38 years old would date a 17-year-old. I mean, I know that to be true. And he did not take it very well. And honestly, I didn't understand where he was coming from at all. No, of course I don't know Jerry Seinfeld, but I do know that his girlfriend's 17 and he's 38, and he seemed like a mature 38 to me. It just didn't fit. Yeah. And Dennis didn't like it.
He met and started dating Jessica after she had returned from their 3-week honeymoon in Italy with Eric Niederlander.
That's right. Yeah, and I want to say
husband Niederlander.
I think he did. That was before social media, but I think he did say something publicly about it. Not much, but I think he was quite surprised. And it was, it sounded to me like, if I remember correctly, the girl really leaped fast. It wasn't like Jerry was an old boyfriend or something. It was like she just met him.
Yeah. And they met at a workout place. Sports club.
I mean, he just really was nuts about her from the first minute, but she had just, I mean, that's weird too. That's almost weirder than Shoshana.
Yeah. It's this part says after much.
He really gets a pass on this stuff, by
Jerry,
the way.
Yeah. Cause he's funny. We like him.
Well, he is. I love Jerry.
Yeah,
I do.
I still do too.
I'm not going to give him a hard time about
Coffee with Comedians and Cars is a cool show.
Show.
Kind of like it.
Are there some new ones out?
I don't think so.
This quote from her, though. You're right. He did criticize her like crazy when they broke up, Niederlander.
Yeah.
And here's her quote. I met Jerry at the end of what was the most difficult period of my life. Mind you, she just returned from a 3-week honeymoon in Italy. So it's very, Meghan Markle-esque, isn't it?
It's very difficult to come home from a 3-week vacation.
Well, I can't help but note the fact that, you know, the Niederlander family are extremely wealthy. Mm-hmm. They own, I'm not even sure what they own now.
They used to own the Fisher Theater down here.
Yeah, they own
a ton in New York. Yeah.
Really big things. And I think the kids did very well, too. You know, they may have been in the family business, but I don't think... The guy she married was, I believe he was pretty loaded too for whatever his position in life was at that time. So to go from, you know, Jerry would be a climb from there, I guess, because he's Jerry. And Jerry was, I mean, once that show went into syndication, holy shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was loaded.
Jerry was neither the cause nor the effect of the breakup. But his friendship.
Maybe it was Jerry's dick.
His friendship gave me
wallet was the cause of it.
Bullshit.
His friendship gave me strength and resilience at a time of desperate need, and it's formed the basis for my happiness in the years that have followed.
Aww.
Hey, you know, they're still together. They had 3 kids. Everything's great.
It would appear that she made the right decision, but
what
it was
to Eric? No one knows what happened to Eric.
It was not something where, you know, after a couple weeks she just said, you know what? I got to know this thing. It was like boom, boom, wasn't it?
It was very quick.
Yeah, it was fast.
By the way, the Niederlander, the main guy, went to Michigan. Just thought I'd point that out. What? Huh?
Bloop. Yeah, when you hear Michigan, Brandon, get that bloop ready.
You're in the cult,
they're
bro.
From Detroit, man.
It should be a Michigan theme song bloop, though.
Dun, proud dun, of that. Dun, dun, dun.
Bloop. Trudy, that's a bloop, great bloop, idea. Or we could have like a pop-up audio where we put stupid facts in the Michigan fight song and bloop them all.
There's no stupid facts. What are you talking about?
Let's see. Oh, I want to mention one more thing. People were responding, and I've gotten a couple more responses as time has gone on, about the WLLZ situation where, you know, we were on 8 to 11, which I thought was pretty cool. Oh, I thought it was pretty cool. And then for some reason, not really known to me, they wanted to move it back. Well, I guess because they need to play music on Saturday morning. It's, there's a need to play wall-to-wall music. And this starts before 11 o'clock. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if somebody not in Detroit said, hey, what are you doing, you know, with this talking show till 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday? Mm-hmm. I don't know that to be a fact. I don't really know what happened. Anyway, they wanted to do it 7 to 9, and they were happy with it, or so they seemed very happy with it. Then this show that and this is again where I feel like Detroit's a passenger. iHeart is really pushing this show. Is it Cars and Music? Or
I really don't know what the name of it is.
Okay. It's a show.
I really don't.
I believe the show is out of Houston, and I'm not passing judgment on the show. But I got that call from Casey. Hey, could you call me when you have a minute? And I knew. I was like, oh, boy, what's, is this the end? Am I blown out again? I mean, isn't three times the charm? Jeez. So, yeah, the demotion was, that didn't feel too good. But then, it's like, yeah, there's a show out of Houston, and Cars and Music. I think it's Cars and Music. And, you know, iHeart's really pushing it to get it, you know, everywhere.
Well, there's our new beef.
There you go.
Cars and Music.
So, Saturday, I got emails, like a flurry of emails all at once. And I was like, what's going on? Are we, or is our site been scrubbed or something? And no, it was people who normally listen on Saturday morning.
Well, that's cool.
And that's not a giant audience that early, but at 8:30 or 8:15, they were used to hearing us. And, you know, even from being cut back from 11, they still were listening to us. And there we weren't. And there was this new show, and this new show sucks. It was one of those things. Then some people heard the promo, and it reminded them to say, hey, what's going on? So,
was it this promo?
Hey!
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 What are you, a pussy? Turn up that dial and listen to Trudy. If you don't listen to Trudy Daniels, then fuck you.
106.7 Detroit's Wheels.
No, that's a great promo.
Yeah, it wasn't that promo. It was a promo for that new show, and it reminded people to say, hey, what is this?
Hey.
Why are they blowing you guys out for this thing? I don't know who this is. And that's usually how people react locally when something local is sacrificed for something. And I have to be honest, I was hoping that that with the 8 to 11 slot back in the 8 to 11 days, which didn't last very long, nor did the 7 to 9 days last very long, that, you know, maybe... I could use a few more of those. I thought maybe, I mean, call me crazy. The way iHeart is, you know, there's less local, and there's a lot of people who are heard on multiple stations. I thought, well, this is a pretty good show. Maybe this would work in Grand Rapids or Flint or Northern Michigan. And I had visions of sugar plums. I had visions of other stations picking us up. And and now Indiana wants us because Ohio and Michigan like us.
Indiana wants us.
Pennsylvania wants us too. And Illinois. It's just spreading all over the place. Seems that's not going to quite work out that way. I just hope, you know. God, if they put us back to 4 to 6 in the morning, I think that's going to be pretty rough.
You'll be a morning show again, though.
That's a late night show.
Morning show. Is your spirit broken?
Well, not really, but
shouldn't be.
It's just, no, it isn't. I you know what? I just decided, actually, when the 8 to 11 went to 7 and 9, I just decided, it's funny because I used the word the other day, and I rarely say this, when I asked Dan Wetzel, hey, is this the zenith of your career? I've got a giant hit on Netflix, and I think it might be, right? Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's a big deal.
I would think so. It's been huge.
Anyway, when we went back to 7 to 9, in my head I said, whatever the best thing that's going to happen to me in this business has already happened. It's not going to get any better. I know. Isn't that a bitch?
What are you talking about? You're ahead of a network now.
Yeah, and you're in the top 100. iTunes.
No, that's true. No, that's been a nice victory.
See? And amazing interviews. Quality. Really quality.
Good luck with the podcast.
Dan Wetzel.
I think I'm being patronized.
Answer to no one.
No, I like the show. The podcast is doing great. And you know what is cool is versus radio where you see your audience shrinking. You can see your share going up as your audience shrinks.
Yeah.
Because there's less people available, so you have more of those less, but you have less than you used to have when the pie was bigger. So podcasting is the exact opposite. You should only get larger as more people become available to podcasting. So, no, the podcast has been really cool, but it would have been nice to, you know, Grand Rapids and Ann Arbor and Kalamazoo and Toledo. Mojo's on in Toledo.
Yeah, he is.
No,
for the rock audience, what's wrong with this show? Why can't it still be?
You know,
cancel culture. Let's just blame that.
I need.
It's Bentley's fault.
I used. I think it was last week. I used. Mark,
the clip of
you talking to Andy about Ozzy.
That's right.
Which is very topical because then Ozzy and Sharon came out and talked about his Parkinson's. So I should try to decide what the significant bit of the week is so that I can put it on tomorrow. Ooh. And that way we'll have little, you know,
Dan Wetzel.
Snips of you.
Well, Brandon knows what has happened this week.
Steve Gorman.
I figured Steve Gorman talked about Aerosmith, maybe.
Yeah. That's Steve had
topical.
A bunch of stuff.
A good bit. So now that we've talked
about
it.
You mentioned that he's in Livonia.
I mentioned that a lot.
Oh, okay.
A whole lot. But so all the people listening now will listen for me to play this tomorrow.
Cool. That's cross-promotion.
My cue.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Whatever.
I'm trying to remember when, actually, the first time I thought, gee, maybe it's not going to get any better than this, might have been when I was watching somebody, it might have been when Fallon was on Weekend Update, and I thought, oh, yeah, here come the 25-year-old.
Yeah.
And I think I was in my 40s, and I thought, yeah, it's not going to get much bigger or better, I guess. It's
still,
time to hang on to what's left. No.
So basically,
don't get the wrong idea.
A lot of people who find us. That's cool.
No, the
rediscover.
This is basically what you're saying. Keep me in your heart for a while. Are you dying or something?
No. No, it was just, it was actually kind of, I mean, I can laugh about it now when people were going, hey, what's going on? And I knew what they were writing about because I knew that show was going to be on. It was still kind of like,
yeah,
chicken feed. I mean, damn.
The motto was never give up. I've heard that motto before.
I would think that people would rather hear us on Saturday morning from 8 to 9 and probably to 10 or 11 than some guy in Houston. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm glad they spoke up.
Yeah, to me.
Well, you know, if they did to you, they probably...
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, I really don't think it's Detroit. I don't think they had... I mean, maybe they just framed it properly, so I wouldn't think that. All right, get us out of here, Brandon. I think WOLD is the next stop.
Oh,
no, we were number 93 yesterday in our category.
This is what I'm doing, and everybody ate.
We have been number 93 in a while, probably a month and a half. So
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm so fucked here. I am so
It's pretty difficult to get in the top 100, so that's good. That was good news. And we're on the Spotify interview or music interview chart number 99 or something like that. So, yeah, things are looking up.
All right.
And I love looking at the shows that are behind us because
wrong.
There's a lot of big radio shows we're out of. So,
game's over.
Apparently, iHeart doesn't see that list. But, the way it goes. It's a bitch out there, man. Fucking thing sucks! We need to play that drop more, by the way. I heard, who are these podcasts play that drop?
I heard them,
that
too.
That is such a great drop. What shows have you heard?
Just a couple of them.
Fucking thing sucks!
What did I hear?
Pauly Shore?
Pauly Shore, yeah. Oh, my
that's
God.
That's a really good episode.
So, so bad.
Yeah, that's a starter episode. Stuttering John?
Yeah, no, the most recent one, Topher,
David Lee Roth, Topher Grace, yeah, terrible show, terrible show.
Slam poetry stuff, yeah, it's awful. Yeah, I love how they take you through other people's pretensions.
I know, it's really funny. Whose idea was it to have a slam poetry person on? Oh,
Topher.
Yeah, it could be Topher Grace. We passed Topher Grace.
Sucks.
He passed us on the way down, and we passed him on the way up. So it's not all bad. We'll be here next week.
Fuck it.
Weekend!